Simple orders, Hal. Find the enemy and kill him.
They attack us. No casualties. They're running hide in the mountains. So naturally, we chase them, of course. They smell like an ambush to you.
They get close enough to kill us, we'll be close enough to kill them.
Round trip by chopper, 30 minutes. That means the first 60 men on the ground will be there a half hour alone. Son of a bitch. Think maybe you ought to get yourself that M16.
Time comes I need one, sir. There'll be plenty of them lying on the ground.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Uniformed Opinions. We've been on leave, I guess, for 3 months or so. I think, well, we came back right after the election and then we said, you know what, fuck it, we're out. We're done. We need a break. And, but we're back, yay. Noam is back.
Hey, hey
Noam.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Neil. Neil. Just like the army, ladies and gentlemen. And special guest host emeritus, Don.
Cavins. Present and counted for. Hi, 111?
Petty Officer First Class Cavins retired.
All right.
11-teen, as the hobbits call it.
11-sies?
No, 11-teen.
Is that what they call it? I thought it was 11-sies.
I have no 11-teens. Idea. So Don, what have you been up to?
No,
in
you just
the last...
had afternoon. You just had afternoon tea.
Second tea.
Breakfast.
Don, so what have you been into since, or what have you been up to since? I think what episode 40-ish when you left. Been a couple of years since you've been on the show. You got married.
Wasn't it with Parker? I think that was the last episode I was on was with Parker from Enlisted.
Okay, so that would have been about episode 70.
That was March 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. I came on shortly after that.
Yeah. So since then, I left the job I was working that took me out here to California.
You didn't leave.
I was asked to leave.
Right.
Saying you left
implies that it was voluntary and...
Well, I did leave. I mean, I did leave, so I'm not lying. I left the company.
He left head first through the glass window is what he's saying.
were you laid off or were you fired?
Oh, I was fired. I was... There's no, hey, we can't afford to keep you anymore. It's like, yeah, we're replacing all of management with consultants and leads.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like a you did a thing and that
no, it wasn't
fired.
Like, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I would consider that more like laid off. I think if they're saying like we're cutting all of this, you know, this entire thing, I would call that being laid off.
That was very shortly after you moved out there, wasn't it?
It was a year after I moved out here, so almost to the date. I mean, it was smart of them too. So they had all of management set up a new facility and get it running, and then they just brought in consultants at a much lower wage, and promoted leads to supervisory positions and filled the middle gap. and save money on the upper management salaries. The reverse of what is usually heard of, you know, cutting the workforce to save the management's jobs. No, this was actually pretty smart to cut the higher waged individuals.
Because they can hire two or three peons for what they're paying you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I got it. We got everyone trained up and how to do processes and write SOPs and stuff and made the first couple trains. And then they're like, here's severance. Here's your payout. Sign this non-disclosure. And thank you for what you've done. So that was pretty. What was awesome was the day that I was walked out was the day that the headhunter found me for the job that I'm working now. Like that afternoon when I'm sitting in the parking lot of a supermarket saying, "How do I take this information back home to the girlfriend that I brought out?" So yeah, I wasn't even engaged yet. So, yeah, headhunter found me and interviewed in Pennsylvania because the job is for out here in Riverside, California. And they relocated me from Palmdale to Temecula, wine country. Really nice, right before you get to San Diego. So if you've been to San Diego, you definitely know the area that I live in. It's just pretty nice. And the work is a little better, a little better paying than what I was doing before. So all in all, worked out really well.
Wow, nice.
Yep. And the guy that found me was a retired Marine First Sergeant. Hang on, what's an E-8 in the Marines? That would be you, Frank, telling me this information. What is an E-8 in the Marine Corps? This would be the Marine of the show telling me what rank... Can the Israeli tell me what an E-8 is?
What I could just take a wild ass guess that it's probably a Master Sergeant or I haven't gotten a chat notification.
Sorry, I got called upstairs and you don't want to know the conversation I just had. But anyway, what was the question?
Yeah. It's a good thing you weren't gone right when Don pointed a question at you.
Yeah, I next time
he threw going. He threw it to you, Frank, like very sort of
I
very very slickly.
I didn't.
I wish the camera could have just panned to the empty chair. Like,
all right, this is going to be fun to listen to, I guess. Huh?
And Morgan Freeman's narration just comes over and says, "Frank did not come right back."
Frank was not there to answer Don's question about E-8s in the Marine Corps.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here.
he typed in the chat room BRB, but he wasn't BRB. Now we're starting to sound like Cleveland from the Cleveland show.
Oh, you should have come back instead of saying BRB.
Yeah. No.
All right.
The de-evolution of a podcast. I like it.
That was hilarious.
Those are the best shows. So, what's the question?
Hey, Frank.
Yes.
So, hey, what's an E-8 in the Marine Corps?
A Master Sergeant or a First Sergeant?
Okay, so yeah, that was the guy that hired me.
He's just going to cut everything in between you asking that and him answering that.
The hell I am. Have I ever cut anything out of a show?
That's a perfect edit point right there.
Seamless. It's going to be seamless.
Except we keep talking about it, so
that's why I did it. I was trying to deny you the possibility of doing that. Yeah. Anyway,
so I make moving trucks. The company that makes moving panel vans, refrigerated.
I thought you made buses.
You
and trains.
No, no. I used to make trains. Dude, we're going to move to fucking jumbo jets next. I used to make trains. Now I make moving trucks. The Ryder Penske's, you know, class 6 and 7, nothing big rig. So yeah, I've been doing that since. April of 2015.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm looking to move again.
Are you still in still up where you were?
I'm at a company called Morgan.
No, I mean
you should Frank, you should just go live and listen to the podcast. You'll learn all of this stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. To learn more about what happened to Don, listen to episode 111 of Uniform.
Yeah, he asked Don to give us what's been going on the last 2 years so that he could step away.
So Don, did you get
Don's gonna have to go through the whole thing again.
Okay. All right. I'm not doing this again.
All right. Anyway. All right. All right. All right.
Okay. Moving right on.
So.
Yes. I have employment. The day I got the offer, I proposed to Laura, and we got married in Vegas in October of 2015. So, still newlywed. Hang on.
I guess so.
2015. Yeah. Yeah. This is 2016. Jesus. Oh, now is the time. I realized the other day that right now. Okay, I'm 43. Right now is the time that I want things to slow the fuck down. Because I've always heard, race through life. If you blink, you're going to miss some things. Or you wait till the day that you just want things to slow down. That's now.
Like, isn't she like 15 years younger than you or something like that?
Yes, she's considerably younger than I am.
So right now she's probably saying, hey, put a baby in me.
Yeah. No, she's not.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, no, never.
Never?
Nope, that was part of the agreement there.
That was part of the prenup. If you get pregnant, I'm leaving.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I ain't getting reversed, so adoption is going to be the only option you got. The adoption option. How come there's no company?
You got the snip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I made the Navy pay for that shit right before I retired.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah,
I'm actually surprised you went down this road again.
With marriage?
Yeah.
Well, if it's good, why not? I didn't get burned with the first one. It was just, I got two awesome kids. This one was, this is fun.
Yeah.
See, I have the money and the knowledge now to enjoy a young marriage instead of having a kid at 20 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's shit like vacations I can go on, and if I want to go out, don't have to worry about it. You parents know, right, Noam? Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly. I know all about the perils of...
Neil's got a dog.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I understand, because I have this thing that I can't just leave alone, and...
Right. If you want to leave
it, we make sure it poops in the right places, and...
Although, I will say, my brother had a kid, like my first nephew, like 18 months ago. And yes, I understand exactly. I mean, I can see how a huge of a change it is in his life and what he can do and when he can do it or whatever. And also, it's not just what he wants to. It's like he doesn't want to, meaning like it's now he has different priorities or whatever.
Yeah, that first kid, I could picture Don. I can picture Don. See if this happened to you. You had the first kid.
At 21.
And about 6 weeks later, they said, hey, guys, six-month deployment. And you went, woohoo!
I was like, oh, hang on. We're in three-section duty rotation? It means every 3 days I have to sleep on the ship and not at home with my crying toddler? Oh, please. Get no better sleep than on duty. Now. Oh, yeah, I have the mid-watch? I don't give a shit. I'm still getting more sleep on the boat than I am at home. Oh, hell yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I know a couple of guys that had kids right before they went over to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're like, I'm getting more sleep over here in a fucking war zone than I am at my house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree with that. What have you guys been up to? Fuck my story. The world hasn't heard from you guys. Wait, in 2 weeks?
2 months.
No, it hasn't been 2 months.
Yeah.
It's almost. It'd be like 2 months. Just about 2 months.
It was right after Election Day when we...
I think it was actually right before.
No way.
Yeah, no, Stitcher, the latest episode was put on Stitcher November 7th.
Wow, that was before we got a new president.
Oh, we spoke after the election.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. We did a thing after the election.
It was the weekend after the election.
my God, you guys do this. Don't you? Can't you go somewhere like a repository? Don't you have a website?
Time to plug the website.
UniformedOps.com.
There you go. Oh, so you do have a website.
Yes, we do.
And maybe a Facebook page.
Yeah, November 7th was when the last show was up.
Yeah, was that the day after the election?
Yeah, November 6th is the election, isn't it?
November 8th was the election.
Yeah, he's right.
Okay, so that's what I thought.
So we did this show on like the 5th or the 6th. So yeah, we had shit right before the election.
No, come on. I remember that we spoke after the election, though.
wait. No,
you talked to two other people named Frank and Neil.
Wait, hang on. That was another friend that I have.
This is so weird.
You talked to Bizarro Uniformed Ops or something.
Wow. We should do that and have goatees. We should have Bizarro.
Spock, like evil Spock.
I can't be on that
right?
show.
Sleeveless shirts.
I can't be on that show unless I go to a costume store.
I'm evil Don.
Although, you know, I know we said we're not going to talk a lot of politics. I'm not gonna talk about the specific candidates. I do remember going to bed Tuesday night early because I had to get up at like 4 in the morning. Having no idea, they hadn't called any of the election yet. You know, none of the polls had closed, so I went to bed. I woke up in the morning, and I assumed, just based on the reporting and how much of a tard, honestly, Trump can be at times with some of the shit he says, I'm like, there's no fucking way Trump's going to get elected.
Yep.
I woke up 4 o'clock Wednesday morning, turn on the radio, and they're like, Donald Trump's going to be the next president. I'm like, what? Now,
weird. This dream feels
and I'm not
so
saying, and, I, and I'm not and I didn't react like that because like I necessarily hate Trump. You know, I hate them both equally. Let's just put it that way. But I didn't see him having a chance to win, and I don't know if it was media bias going in, poll bias going in, or.
Me personally,
I think what happened is a lot of people that were going to vote for Trump knew ahead of time, and they just chose not to talk to reporters or pollsters or anything like that, and it skewed the results.
It's, you know what, I actually don't think that's true. The more time comes out, there's actually one really really good Politico article about. Michigan, about how Hillary dropped the ball in Michigan. Because what happened here was, like, she lost a tactical battle. Like, he didn't do very well. She just failed in a really, really key points. And if you read that Politico article about Michigan, you'll see the kind of mistakes she made. Meaning, like, people in Michigan were calling Brooklyn and saying, like, listen, we're seeing people who are supposed to be Clinton voters that are going to vote for Trump. Give us some money so we can canvass. We'll buy pamphlets and stuff. And Brooklyn was like, no, our models say it's fine, so don't worry about it. And like SEIU showed up in Michigan. We're like, we want to canvass and get out the vote. And they were told, like, no, there's no stickers. You can't do it.
Yeah, there's no way we're going to lose Michigan.
And Donna Brazile
always voted Democratic.
And Donna Brazile took money that was going to go to battlegrounds like Michigan and put it into promoting minority get out the vote in places like Chicago, where they were going to win anyway. But what she wanted, she was looking to sort of visibly boost minority voting as a, you know, it was like a political thing or whatever. Right. And so money that could have been spent in sort of key places.
Right.
Was sort of wasted on all this like essentially PR crap.
Hang on, didn't someone, and I don't remember as the mayor of DC, but didn't someone try to get all of the either homeless or elderly black photo IDs? That's what started up the photo ID bullshit to be able to vote, and they tried to get everyone out there to do that, and there was so much backlash. Like, why would Hillary go that route? And I can't remember which politician that was that did that, by the way.
So, I don't
even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a couple of keys, a couple of states, and this might have been either for governor or mayor or whatever, that required photo IDs at the voting booth. Well, there's a lot of people that cannot get photo IDs, a lot of elderly minorities that don't have good birth records, don't have any identification, and subsequently cannot vote. So there was some politicians to try to get out and like beat the bushes to try to get all these people to have photo IDs, which kind of counteracts against the whole point of not having photo IDs.
I want to know the number of people that actually can't get a photo ID. I mean, we've got to be talking like,
here's the thing is when you make it mandatory like to get a photo ID, that's the fucked up part.
You need a photo ID to do literally everything else in your life.
Yes, you need it, but you can't make it mandatory. You can't make it mandatory that every person in America has to have an identification on them at all times with their photo on it.
No,
no, but isn't it okay? Okay, but voting isn't mandatory.
No, it's not. I mean, literally, you can't open a fucking bank account without a photo ID.
Well, sure. It's a bank. That's not.
No, you can't. But Don, the argument is not.
Hold on. You can't get into the Democratic National Convention without a photo ID.
That's not right.
Well, but it's not. The argument against it is not a libertarian argument, Don. It's not a. It's yeah. You know, there shouldn't be a national mandatory photo ID law. It's about the fact that people don't have the means to procure. They're expensive or whatever, and it's high. If you live far away from, if you live in some kind of Louisiana parish that's fucking 75 miles away from the nearest place where you could do that, then that's not fair. But if you're like on government assistance, which a lot of these poor people are, you need ID for that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's like,
that's the thing. I don't understand. Like, I would really like, I mean, seriously, like, if there are, I would like to know, like, who are these huge groups that are unable, like, that are essentially unable to vote because they can't get ID?
That's what I mean. There's funny. Literally, I think, like, 5 people in the country that don't have an ID or can't get one. I mean, like, I live in Illinois. It's the shittiest state in the country, but you can get a state ID for $5, you know?
Right. It's funny because I live in this this shithole of a ranch. I share it with 2 other families, so I don't have a physical address. The guy that owns the property has a physical address, but we are all 3 on it, but it's not in my name. So when I tried to register, they couldn't take a PO box. They said I need a physical address.
Right.
Well, I gave him the physical address and never was given any kind of a registration card. So I went to the nearest polling station and I just signed my name. There was actually a sign that says we are not allowed to ask you for photo identification. If any one of the team members that are working here does that, please notify a supervisor or whatever they're called, you know, the rank structure. So I literally voted without anyone ever checking my identification at all. I just gave them my name and said, this is who I am, and I'm a citizen. Right. It blew my fucking mind.
Well, that's the way it is. When I lived in Iowa, that's the way it is, too. You literally walk up, you give them your name. I mean, and they use paper books. I mean, you can literally look at the book and find somebody who hasn't voted yet and say, yeah, that's me right there.
But if it's at that polling station, how do they know 2 stations away? You're not doing the exact same fucking thing.
Exactly. And like I said, think about all of the things just in your normal everyday life that you need some form of ID to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. But what I'm saying was how when you try to force people into doing things that's biased in a certain way, you're going to get your ass handed to you just like Hillary did. Which is coming back to the original subject of why we went down the road.
Right. You need some way, I think, to prove who you are.
Did you guys vote? Did they check your ID?
No. Some states literally say if 2 people walk in with you and say, yes, this is John Smith.
Yeah.
You know, that like you can have a couple of people come in and verify that you are who you say you are if you don't have an ID.
Right.
A lot of places are like what Don said, where you don't even need a fucking ID. You know, Iowa, you just walk in and say, yeah, my name's Frank. I'm here to vote. Okay, here you go.
Did, Did you guys hear the horseshit laws that were passed in California?
Well, it's California. Come on, man.
Child
prostitution or whatever?
No, we had one that was that tried to get passed for like webcam performers or porn actors.
Okay. Oh, well, they're still trying to pass that you got to wear condoms and.
Yeah, it
goes I know they passed that in LA County.
It's got a lot of lawsuits where anybody could, anyway. They passed, you know, the legal marijuana, whatever. Fucking, it didn't even make a difference. Fucking shopping bags. Have you guys heard about this shit?
Oh, they did that in Chicago a long time ago.
What, they cost money?
You know those little bullshit shopping bags you usually get, like, AMP or whatever, or fucking ShopRite, and the little fuck off, put litter in it, throw it away bags?
Yeah.
Most of them have holes in them or whatever. Now they have no more single-use bags like those. It's fucking thick-ass, like, real galvanized plastic bags. And they only cost a dime. But they have to ask you every time you shop, do you want to buy a bag today? It's supposed to promote people bringing in their own reusable bags and not
I do that. I mean, I do that now, but just because it's more convenient.
It's literally it's based. Annoying. I mean, the one here we have in Chicago that they did, it's based on like the thickness of a bag, like the really thin ones that you get. You can't have
those.
Dude,
we're talking like an 8 mil.
Right.
This thing is, yeah. It's ridiculous. So now instead of having a bunch of fuck off one use bags, I got a sink full of like 30 friggin' used tires.
I googled stupid laws in 2017, and literally the entire first page of Google is top 10 stupid new laws in California for 2017. California new laws in 2017. Yeah, weird and wacky California laws that go into effect January 1st.
Oh, yeah. This is fucking bullshit. I actually voted in against the legalized marijuana or the recreational
use.
Yeah.
Why?
Purity of strain, where the tax dollars actually go, the limitations. It's plus how motor vehicle accidents have gone up in the two states that have recreational. There's no way of testing. Like for DUI, there's no way of testing. And you know what? You could say, well, I can go to a fuck off doctor and get a recommendation and get my own green card. But it adds another layer of protection against dummies and weed, basically.
Okay. Because like DC has weird things. Because I actually moved to DC.
Oh, sweet, man.
And four
I was wondering why you're always there. I'm like, well, dude, that's a lot of fucking trips to DC, man.
No, for like 14 months ago, I moved here. It's legal here, but the only thing that you're not allowed to do is like sell and buy it. Like you're not allowed to money right. can exchange hands. So there's all kinds of weird like
donations.
Workarounds. No, there's workarounds. Like there's a thing. Somebody sent me the other day. It's like an art gallery, and what you do is you buy a piece of art.
Yeah.
They give you the art, and also they throw in some weed as a gift.
Huh.
So you're actually legit buying like a t-shirt or like a print, a little poster or something like that.
Right.
And so like included in that is some fucking pot or whatever.
Done.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a legal workaround.
Right. You're allowed to gift. You're allowed to gift a certain amount.
Yeah,
like you're allowed to just give somebody up to an ounce.
California Senate Bill 1383
promotes rape.
No, we'll just call it the cow fart law.
What?
Yeah.
Why do I think I've heard of this one?
In spite of the fact. That 53 California dairy farmers went bankrupt, moved out of the state, or just closed down this year. Well, this is from Breitbart, so, you know, of course they're going to... Marxist progressives are back at it again. Capture cow farts or suffer heavy fines. The California Air Resource Board suggests inserting a tube into the cow's digestive system and venting into a backpack.
There's a Snopes check for you.
Even liberals.
Yeah, we find us. This is what they're talking about when they say fake news is a problem.
Right. Even even liberals admit that the laws like this, where government tries to control the uncontrollable, can have undesired economic consequences. The one that Noam, I think, was trying to bring out is Senate Bill 1322, the legalization of child prostitution.
Except that's not exactly what it is. You're no longer allowed to arrest a minor that is caught engaged in sex work.
Right. This law
it actually makes perfect sense. Like, if there's a 13-year-old prostitute, you bet your ass it's not their, like, they're probably not doing it because it's their life choice.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, there's probably some kind of coercion involved there. And so prosecuting a child for that is dumb. But it was widely reported as being the legalization of child prostitution, which is, in fact, false.
This law bars law enforcement from arresting sex workers who are under the age of 18 for soliciting or engaging in prostitution or loitering with intent to do so. So teenage girls and boys in California will soon be free to have sex in exchange for money without fear of arrest or prosecution.
Fuck yeah. Wait.
Now, this is nuts. I understand the idea of trying not to punish the victim.
It's still illegal.
Right.
It's still illegal. But, I mean, you're going to have cases where it's the same chick on the street and she's warned and the police arrest her and she's 14 and...
Are they going to walk around in t-shirts now saying, I'm 14, you can't arrest me?
Now, is there a workaround
that works
for that?
Both ways.
If you have a citation, if you get a citation for public solicitation and then you keep getting citations, you don't pay them, then you get arrested because you have citations that you're not paying. It's not for the prostitution.
That's a form of coercion. It's called payment for sex.
No,
it's my coercion.
Well, what it is you have to buy a piece of art and then you're gifted the underage prostitute.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was slick.
Love it. Stinger missile right there. Fucking
split up bitches. Very good.
Bravo, sir.
Yeah, that was a well executed plan. Speaking of well executed plans, I guess Don hasn't seen Rogue One yet. Yeah.
And I haven't either. Well,
that was my segue.
I was pretty amazed that to find out that who's the main bad guy, not Vader.
Hold on. Spoiler
alert.
The
movie has not been out a month yet.
It's in the commercial. Okay. It's in the trailer. Anyway.
No, okay. I know. I'm just saying if somebody really, really wants to avoid everything, I'm just giving a warning.
I literally have not seen any trailers.
Because Don hasn't seen it. So,
yeah, I've avoided it. I've avoided it like the plague, just like when episode 7 came out. I avoided news. I avoided trailers.
I haven't seen it. You're saying that the actor that plays Danny in Bloodlines is the main bad guy in Star Wars. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Netflix show Bloodlines, or maybe Showtime.
Talk about Ben Mendelsohn, Australia's own Benjamin Mendelsohn.
Is that who that is?
Ben Mendelsohn, He's in Hell or High Water or whatever. Oh, no, not Hell or High Water. He's in A Place Beyond the Pines. Have you seen that with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, I like that movie. He plays Danny in Bloodline. He's a really good actor. I didn't know that was. I saw him in the commercial. I was like, hang on a second. And then someone who had seen both shows was like, yeah, that's that guy. And I was like, wow. I'm gonna see it next weekend when I'm in New Jersey.
All right. You know what? And since you hadn't seen it, I was gonna ask you like before we started recording if there were any movies this year that you really, really liked. And I think this is actually because
he hasn't been on the show in like 2.5 years. So we can
talk about The Force Awakens.
2.5 years you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about movies from early last year.
Since you moved out to California, Don, what movies have you seen and did you like them?
No, I've seen probably every major. I didn't see Doctor Strange in the theaters. They pulled out before I got a chance to go in and see it. And I really want to see that one. That's my favorite character.
I enjoyed it.
I'll tell you a good thing about it and a bad thing about it.
Sure.
The bad thing about it is that it's just an origin story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And I actually think the next big frontier in comic book movies is going to be to reinvent the origin story, because they're just so samey This is still fun or whatever, but in the end of the day, it's like, you know, you're introduced to the character and they're at their low point and he goes to blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like Batman Begins, you know?
Yeah, he's got
goes to the Orient and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's got a micro bad guy, right, bad guy. Yes.
But Noam, they're also they're really doing the final entrance of Mystics into the MCU, so they kind of there was no way around an origin story for Doctor Strange. I guess you're right.
But like somebody said to me, somebody said, you know, take Indiana Jones, for example. They did the origin story in the third movie. They just threw you into this character.
Oh yeah,
right. But when you take it into context with the rest of the MCU, there really hasn't been a whole lot of magic.
No, that's correct. You're absolutely right. I'm saying no.
Can't just all of a sudden, hey, we have a guy who does magic now.
No, you're right. But that's this movie's cross to bear, right? You know what I mean? Like the fact that it had to do it doesn't mean that I'm going to magically be entranced by yet another superhero origin story, but I'm saying this was good. And the good news about it is that I thought the ending was really clever and it wasn't just shooting magical fireballs at a thing. Because
oh this is yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
12 damage.
Did you count them?
No, I did not.
I tried, but I lost count.
And I will say it's an instantly classic scene.
It is.
Like you walk out of the theater going like, that's going to be a meme. Like when I saw it opening weekend, I was like, that's going to be a meme tomorrow. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a really memorable, cool thing. That's not just, like I said, it's not just a big monster and you shoot magic bolts at it.
It was one of those cool ones where literally he just outsmarted the bad guy.
Yeah, and it set up some future stuff really well, I thought.
According to comicbookmovie.com, I believe he was called in for a casting call for Infinity Wars, as well as the Guardians.
Yeah, everybody. The only person that's not in it is Spider-Man.
Spoiler!
What?
No, a lot of people do not know that information.
The movie's kind of like 2 years. Yeah,
I know.
Are you going to bring Spider-Man?
Spider-Man movie is.
Well, we still got Ragnarok coming out before Infinity Wars, right?
And Spider-Man.
Yeah, and there's a spoiler, but Hulk doesn't die in Ragnarok because he was in casting call too for Infinity Wars.
I you know what? Nobody dies in Marvel movies ever, so it's not.
Quicksilver.
There's a lot of blame, but silence. And Coulson, but he's not dead on the TV show. He's only
But Quicksilver died.
I'm not dead yet.
You know the yeah. But and they only killed Quicksilver because it would be weird to have two Quicksilvers in two competing universes at the same time.
I honestly did not know that was.
But they didn't call him Quicksilver.
Oh, it is Kick-Ass. No, they didn't call him Quicksilver because they couldn't.
Right.
Because Quicksilver is owned by Fox.
I'm trying to remember what they called him. Did they just call him by his regular name?
They didn't. I mean, the Scarlet Witch thing only came later because it was somebody wrote it in the fucking newspaper or something like that. How they always do it, right?
Yeah, he was really, really quick and he wore. Hang on, what did he wear?
Yeah, oh, right. You wear like a Mylar silver kind of.
You are silver. Yeah.
Yes. I'm gonna be honest with you though. I do like the Marvel version of that character a lot better though, because it's cool watching him just almost stop time and just go around and.
No, that's the other one. X-Men. Yeah, that's the X-Men.
Right, redirect shit, and well, that's what I meant. Yeah,
I just watched Apocalypse again. That movie's awful.
But that sequence is so bad.
Apocalypse.
It is so bad.
Did I watch that one?
It's the one with Oscar Isaac, you know, where he's
the Egyptian. The paint on his face was just so fake.
Apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's
the third of these X-Men movies.
I know.
I think
I've seen it.
Okay. It's the one where Magneto works at a foundry in Poland.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they kill his family. Yeah.
Yes. That was like a fucking... Spoiler alert. It's fine. It came out like 6 months ago. That was like a fucking, that was like a if Holocaust it's been a, movie if it, again.
The rule on this show, Don, and it's been a rule since you were around, if the movie's been out a month and you haven't seen it, it's your own damn fault.
Yes. If it's on demand, it's up for spoiling.
Yeah. What else? Oh, I mean, Deadpool was this year. I thought that was...
You know, hey, how many times have you seen Deadpool?
Several.
I've run out of fingers.
I thoroughly enjoyed it in the theater. I'm not a big Deadpool fan. I don't like that whole fourth wall bullshit.
Oh, really?
And I watched it in the theaters, and I fucking loved it. But then I watched it at home, and I was like, I already heard the joke. Like...
Right, but the funny thing about Deadpool, at least the movie, at least when they did the fourth wall breaks,
they did it well.
They weren't overt about them. Except for the one where he goes, look, where he looks at the camera, and goes a fourth wall break inside a fourth wall break. You know, other than that, the majority of them were just little comments about.
And speaking of reinventing the origin story, this movie, it did it because. It kind of accidentally
Which movie?
Deadpool.
Okay.
Because they had such a low budget and they only had this one highway sequence and this one, they decided to break it up like that and be sort of nonlinear about it so that the movie had like action kind of peppered in throughout it instead of having like just two sequences and the rest would be, because if that movie played linearly, it would have been super fucking boring.
Yeah, I had no problem with the flashbacks and stuff. That was,
but I'm saying that's beautiful. Like that to me, it doesn't feel like, again, in the beginning, he's just himself and then a thing happens and then he has to learn how to use his powers, and it kind of, it switched it up and it made it way, like it flows way better like that.
Although I think my favorite part of the movie is him designing his costume.
Yes, and starting white, and then it gets all bloody. That is pretty funny, and that whole montage.
I think it's on HBO on demand right now. I might have to try watching
it
tonight.
It is. I've watched.
See how I like, because I've only seen it once.
I've watched
despite it, for as much as I loved it.
I've watched it at least once a month since it's been.
I want to watch it again tonight and see if I still love it.
It's literally my go-to money. Fuck, nothing else is on. What am I going to do? Fuck it, Deadpool.
Jimmy Chang is
Deadpool. No, I don't even blame you for that, because I thought I loved it.
No, it was great. But then
I go to that before I go to episode 7. You know,
and then after that came like a string of bad ones. So there was like Warcraft.
Yeah.
My co-hosts on Radio Fubar went to go see that, and they kind of enjoyed it, but they...
Of course!
You're a huge World of Warcraft person.
Exactly, and they've been playing...
Then you'll enjoy this? The problem is, it was, for something so fantastical and magical, it was so unremarkable. Everybody was a fucking Aragorn-looking motherfucker and talked with the same voice. Everybody looked like the default template in like a video game character creation engine. You know, like if you just hit okay, that's the guy you end up with. A warrior who has a beard and a mustache and a long hair and whatever. Like it's always that guy.
We ran out of fur cod pieces. Hey, can someone run over the Vikings?
And Ben Foster, he's supposed to be this like immortal wizard who protects the universe, and he's just like a dude. It's like make him interesting. Like I really didn't get that.
I didn't watch it. So
it had some really like some of the orc CGI was super super impressive. And that, like, I really don't remember a lot about it, honestly. It was very unremarkable. It's hard. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to make a movie that's that visually interesting. But you know what? It has it. It found its audience. Like, people in China fucking loved that movie. And then they realized they couldn't sell their viewing time experience to American viewers.
How's that?
That was a World of Warcraft joke. Because you see people in China, they level up characters and then sell them to the West.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. You don't know this? Neal Stephenson wrote a really good sci-fi novel about that, like sort of aping on that concept where Chinese people will like spend like weeks and weeks like leveling up a World of Warcraft character and then sell it for like $500 to an American user or whatever. That's a fucking industry.
I thought they just
grinded for material. Yeah. I didn't know they sold characters.
Yeah, well, I mean, Blizzard had to ban, because they used to do it in game. Like, they used to have some kind of like currency transactions in game, and fucking Blizzard had to ban it. It was like the book that Neil Stephenson wrote called Reamed is about essentially like a money laundering scheme that happens via like a World of Warcraft game. It's really good. It's a really good sort of espionage, global espionage, technological kind of thriller.
Did it have like actual outcomes, or was it like, this is what could possibly come from this is XYZ? Or are they saying, okay, this money's being used for like nefarious transactions?
Well, yeah, it's about the guy who created that game, and then he's kidnapped by a sort of a terrorism cell because he needs to help them get money that's on the servers, you know what, like, oh, you know what I mean? Okay. Like there was some kind of like a blind drop that's done via game characters, and then one of the operators gets murdered and his account gets logged out of, so then they can't get into it or what, you know what I mean? It's one of those. It's sort of this elaborate, like, and then they gotta travel all around the world, and it's good. It's a nice
Hang on, did you have any experience with those, what's it called? MMORP?
I do not like MMOs. I like playing story mode.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that was a funny thing. I did play Warcraft for a little while, but I never got into the guilding and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to walk around and kill shit.
I played Warcraft too, a bazillion hours, but that was a real-time strategy game.
Okay, so Noam, what led you to go watch that movie if you're not a fan? Because I honestly only thought only people that play WoW are going to watch this movie.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like dragons and monsters, and I do know sort of the Warcraft look, because like I said, I did play Warcraft 2 a lot. And I like Duncan Jones a lot. He's a really good director. He's made a couple of movies that I love, Moon and Source Code.
He did Moon?
Yeah. And he's
very underrated.
He's David Bowie's
son. Very underrated movie. So good.
Yeah, he's David Bowie's son.
Oh, no way.
Anyway, that, like I said, that movie was highly forgettable. And then there was the even worse Independence Day Resurgence.
I didn't even try.
I didn't even bother.
You know what? If it's on TV, watch it just so you see like that it's not fun.
I'll
tell you what. A couple of days ago, I finally got around to watching Batman versus Superman.
We're gonna get to that in a second. That was gonna be my next one. So I mean, we could just transition into that.
Piece
of garbage.
Well, I don't think Independence Day is worth even mentioning, really, other than that it sucked.
You're right. It was very, yes. I mean, Batman v Superman is, that's true. It is very much worth. I mean, I did an hour long podcast about it.
The first time I tried to watch Batman versus Superman about 3 months ago, I gave up. Right after the Flash sequence.
Okay.
I'm this is fucking stupid. You know,
Neil, did you like that movie?
I didn't see it. I would rather watch Roe versus Wade.
Wow.
Because I've heard nothing good about Batman versus Superman. I finally watched it.
I did a Photoshop Washington versus Jefferson and I'll tell you what, the brilliance of me is that both of their wives are named Martha.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, that's why my parodies are the fucking best, man. I go deep.
Wow, okay, George,
you have to serve as the general of the Continental Army. Why? Because Martha. Okay.
Why'd you say that name?
That was the scene. I mean, I watched it up until that point. I was actually relatively okay with the movie. it wasn't great, but I was like, okay, I can see how they would miss, you know. But then, you gotta save Martha! Why'd you say that name? I'm like, what the fuck?
You know, really? I'll tell you what, one really easy thing they could have done to make that movie better is not show the entire fucking movie in the trailers. Like, seriously, if I had went to that movie not knowing that Doomsday was going to be in it at all and not seeing that other Batman sequence in the warehouse, like, if I hadn't seen those at all,
well, you see, that's,
I would have at least walked away from that movie going like, okay, there was those two big whatever things, but I knew all that shit already.
But that's that's kind of the stupid thing. That's the other thing that I hated about this movie is throughout all the comic books and anytime you saw it, Doomsday is a dumbass.
There were too many things that they threw in it. Somebody theorized, and I think that this is pretty accurate, that Zack Snyder kind of wants to stake his claim to a lot of like cool things in the history of the DC universe. So he wants to be the guy who did Dark Knight Returns. He wants to be the guy who did Death of Superman. He wants to be the guy who did Doomsday. You know what I mean? So like he shoves it all in there. None of it works together. It's like a fucking sundae with salt and fucking, I don't know. Like brie.
Salt by itself and brie by itself, really good. You don't make a sundae out of it.
Exactly. It's like taking a bunch of really good food, like a steak and corn, now, and like throwing it into a blender and then like drinking it like a smoothie. You're like, I love steak, but I'm never going to drink it through a straw.
Right. But know? I mean, honestly, you know, I mean, the second time I watched the movie, I was relatively okay with it all the way up to, why did you say that name?
There's some parts in it.
I've watched that movie multiple times now, but I only watch it with like commentary, like podcasts, like a bunch of podcasts that I like have done running commentaries for it. So I'll watch it four or five times just to listen to a different group of people goof on it each time.
I was almost out right at the beginning, you know, when fucking little kid Bruce falls through the ground and.
Well, they always got to do that. You know, I went to see that movie at the Alamo Draft House, and one of the things they do.
I get him falling through the ground and seeing the bat, but then all of a sudden the bat tornado starts lifting him up, and I'm like,
but that's kind of artistic.
Well, this is before I realized it was supposed to be a dream sequence. You know, I'm sitting there going, no. And then he wakes up, and I'm like, okay, I'm fine with it now. Okay, but you almost lost me there.
But that I didn't mind. Like, I don't mind that kind of stuff. But and like I said, I went to see it at the Alamo Draft House, and what they do is, like, before the movie, they'll play, like, all kinds of various things that are kind of related to that movie. And when I went to see Batman v Superman there, they had a split screen. It was split nine ways, and they showed all nine iterations of the Wayne – the Wayne parents' murder scenes from nine different the Batman the Gotham series, from Batman 1989, Batman
cartoon.
Begins. But yeah, there's like four different cartoon versions of it.
And then they had to slide in the Killing Joke reference right at the beginning, you know.
Yes, but I think Batman Year One, the animated, has that sequence, and yeah, Batman the animated series. I think Batman Beyond has it as well. So like all nine of them played at the same time. It was pretty cool.
I will say that I agree that movie was also for the most part a monstrous piece of shit. Because every time someone brings up Doomsday, I completely forget that it was even in the movie. Like I'm just like, okay, really? That was in there? But honestly, Ben Affleck was not bad at all as Batman.
The characterization of Batman here was not good. That's all.
I'll tell you the biggest part that I had with the movie is, you know, at the end. Okay, I'm going to spoil the shit out of this, everybody. Superman quote dies end quote. He's on the ground, and my first thought was, I'm like, throw his ass on a rocket ship and take him back up into space. It worked 10 minutes ago.
Also, like, why not give Wonder Woman the kryptonite spear to stab him with?
Right. She was kicking Doomsday's ass.
Won't kill her. Fucking throw it at him. fucking javelin at that. Like,
okay, but, you don't got to spear him in the heart. You just got to pretty much scratch him with it.
I also found it to be close enough to him, it worked. I also found it to be severely lacking in like what I consider like good like Zack Snyder cool imagery. Like if you watch like Watchmen or 300, that guy knows how to do a really cool like action sequence.
Yeah. And
that was totally absent here. Like it did not exist. Like the best action scene in it is the one from the fucking the beginning. That's just the ending to Man of Steel from a different angle.
Right.
Sure.
And I loved that. I loved because I was like, cool. Because here's the thing, that. Man of Steel. Like there's a lot of people who hate Man of Steel, and I've had many arguments about it because I was a big defender of Man of Steel. I kept saying like, no, this is the movie where his character developed, and by the end of it, it was developed, and you'll see in the next one and whatever. And Batman v Superman made me look like a fucking idiot.
Well, and, you know what I really meant was
probably a little bit more.
No, I mean, I fucking Zack Snyder fucking hung me out to dry because when he did the press tour, the opening weekend of Man of Steel, he did the press junkets that he did and the articles that came out the opening weekend of Man of Steel said essentially that this is the movie where his ideals become established and this is the blah bitty blah whatever. He echoed everything that I felt when I left the movie, which was like, this is a proper origin story because this is the story of how this person became Superman, the Superman that we know. Why doesn't he kill? Because of this movie. Why doesn't he, why does he avoid doing harm? Because of the things that happened in this movie. I thought that was perfect. But then he's just the same fucking person in Batman v Superman.
I tell you the funny.
It kind of ruined Man of Steel for me.
I tell you,
I like it less now.
The funniest thing I saw in this movie is that at the beginning of the final battle sequence, they had to do the pan of the news saying, "Oh, what did the news person say?" Even though it's after hours in the business district and it's pretty much deserted.
You know what? Funny enough,
I know why they did it.
They did it.
Spoon-fed information.
They did it three times in that movie. That was actually
the one that
made sense to me. Because Anderson Cooper's like, because the news would say something like that. Oh, thank God it's after hours and nobody's in that building. Like I've seen like news coverage of like fires and stuff. Like they do say that. But then there's two other ones where like when they fire the nuke at them in space and then Doomsday crashes to Earth, they're like, Target One crashed down near Stryker's Island. And then somebody raises his head up and goes, it's uninhabited because there's like a huge explosion. And later, Batman's like, I'm going to take him back to the city, but it's
uninhabited, except for the nuke you just launched that you just set off and just pretty much fucked space exploration for the next 1,000 years.
Superhero movies have become a little obsessed with collateral damage. Like, Civil War is all about that shit, too. It's all about, like, the collateral damage. I think both of those things are a big response to fucking Man of Steel. For some reason, I don't know why, fucking in Star Wars, they blow up entire planets. X-Men Apocalypse had Magneto killing like literally hundreds of thousands of people. And then at the end, Xavier's like, well, see you later, old friend, my old friend, the mass murderer. And we'll meet again and play chess after you killed half of New York and Sydney. Right. Fucking ridiculous. And for some reason that movie got shit because Superman was fighting five Kryptonians who were soldiers who were better than him because they had the same kind of powers, but they were also bred from birth soldiers. And so a city got fucking knocked down. Isn't that the point?
You gotta break a few eggs.
If you think about it, Noam, it does kind of make sense. We took a lot of shit for collateral damage over the last 15 years. So it's kind of ingrained into the conscious of.
No, I understand and I think it's kind of. I think that there's a cleverness to it to say like, okay, because of the way the real world reacted to a movie that's in a totally other universe, we're gonna now discuss these themes over in our Marvel universe.
Right.
You know what I think that's kind of clever. The thing I didn't understand was why specifically that movie and not independent every Roland Emmerich movie 2012 fucking the entire world gets destroyed. Like I don't know what it was about that movie in particular.
The entire world didn't get destroyed. They had floating boats
because we didn't do it to ourselves in those movies. God, no.
I was going to say, wasn't 2012 a climate change movie?
Not exactly, because it was more like it's more like there was like some kind of planetary alignment that shifted the gravity. Like all the planets came into
alignment, which caused
like a really insane like gravitational shift, and it caused the crust of the Earth to float on the mantle, so all the continental there was like this insane continental drift. I know.
Wow, that's
the movie 2012.
Yeah, that's another movie I didn't.
I don't watch John Cusack unless he's holding a boombox up in under somebody's window or making Chinese twins.
I did finally manage to see Star Trek III.
Oh, I was just gonna say that was the next one. You're very good at this, Frank, because we're going at this kind of like chronological
show notes or something.
No,
actually, we skipped over Civil War. We'll go back to that in a second. But yeah, Beyond
for this.
Beyond was pretty good. No,
I'll leave you out there. I watched
there was what do you want to call it, a MacGuffin?
Yeah, sure. That whatever that nano.
No.
You mean the motorcycle?
No, even worse. The little guy that just happened to have acid snot because he was sick, and they got out of the fucking. That's how they escaped from.
Oh well, I mean, whatever. Oh, you know what? It was. I'll tell you what.
With Deus Ex Machina.
Yes, exactly. Deus Ex Nano Machina.
But it's been a while since I've seen it. I'm trying to remember the plot of the movie.
Felt to me like a Star Trek episode. You know what I mean? It felt like a really high budget episode.
Okay, that was the one where the ship crashed and
Bones and Spock are off by themselves, right. And then Scotty meets up with the alien girl, right, with the white and black face.
I liked her.
Yeah, she's probably now going to be, because Anton Yelchin is now dead.
Yeah.
So she, there's like rumors that she might be she might join like the crew instead of him. Also, Chris Hemsworth is going to be in the next one because he's Kirk's father. There's going to be some kind of
He was in the first one, wasn't he?
Yes, but he's going to be like, there's going to be some kind of time travel or something like that, where they're going to be like together. No, but you know what?
So the Enterprise C is going to come back through the wormhole and they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, because Star Trek and cheesy time travel plots, that's like bread and butter.
Well, yeah, it's the fourth movie. It's the fourth movie. You have to do a time travel.
Yeah, well, they did time travel in the first movie, right? This is the fourth movie. How many they did it in the sixth movie? They did it in the second, like the original series. The original series movies had it in the one with the whales, right?
Right, which is the fourth movie.
And the Next Generation, but the Next Generation had it in the second movie.
Hi, Captain. There be whales here.
There be whales here. In First Contact with the Zefram Cockring.
Seen the theory, just on a whim? I saw this a few weeks ago, and I'm like, holy shit, this kind of made sense. That them going back to grab those whales to take back to the 23rd century is what caused the extinction in the first place.
Oh, wow. It's been a while since I've seen that movie, so I can either confirm or deny this. But
I honestly can't remember what major plot point the whales were involved.
No, there was some kind of the Earth got destroyed because there were no whales left to signal some kind of thing.
That's bullshit, Frank, because they saved them from the fucking harpoon right when it was shot.
I know.
So how would that?
I know. No. Remember the big alien cylinder came to destroy the Earth because they didn't.
Yes.
Because there was no whales left.
Yes.
But the fact that the Enterprise went back to the 20th century and grabbed these two specific whales is what caused, over time, the extinction of the whales.
Well, I don't believe that whatsoever, because they were going to be killed by the fucking bad guys.
I know. I'm just saying, it was a theory that I saw.
Bullshit theories.
Right.
There's got to be 0% chance that movie holds up today.
It holds up. The only way it doesn't hold up.
I haven't seen it.
Use the keyboard. Oh, how quaint.
Yeah.
He talks into the mouse. He talks into the mouse. Computer. Hello, computer. Right.
Translucent aluminum.
Transparent.
Which is, by the way, it's transparent aluminum. And they're actually doing that now.
Yeah, they are. I know. It's pretty cool.
They're putting it in moving trucks.
But no, anyway, Star Trek 3. I remember it felt less of a, we have to save the universe, we have to save the Federation that the first movies were.
And I kind of like that, though.
Yeah, right.
I
was like, right. And that's what I'm saying. It was more just, hey, we're flying around space and we ran into this big fuck off problem we got to solve. Just like every episode of the original series.
Right. The two big problems with it, like somebody said, is that every Star Trek movie now has a doomsday device and someone who's looking for revenge. That's every Star Trek movie now is somebody has a revenge plot. Right.
No,
the first Star Trek was like that. The second Star Trek was like that. This one was like that. Also, Insurrection was like that. And fucking
Generations. Dude, you gotta have a baddie.
No, I know, right. but if you look at
TNG, it's the same,
ran
it's
for
same
eight seasons.
Yeah, if you don't have a baddie, you get the motion picture.
No, but I'm saying the bad guy doesn't have to be motivated by revenge every time. Doesn't have to be some guy who feels like he's wronged and wants to destroy Earth for whatever reason because he has some kind of feud with Vulcan.
Well, they either want to destroy Earth or they want to destroy Kirk. I mean, you know, going back to the original movies, you know, Wrath of Khan wanted to destroy Kirk.
But I'm saying that's why it's the theory is that because Wrath of Khan is so memorable, every movie now has a revenge plot because they're kind of trying.
Well, I'm sure Kirk pissed a few people off over the course of a 30-year career going.
Sure, the Federation. I mean, it's kind of like
Alpha 6.
It's kind of like America, right? We created the Taliban or whatever.
Right.
so it's like,
you know,
the Federation created all kinds of like alien Taliban.
That's the funniest thing about Wrath of Khan too, is that Khan goes up to Chekhov and says, "You, I never forget a face." Except Chekhov wasn't in that episode. He wasn't on the show yet.
Nice.
when Khan, because that was a first season episode with Khan. Chekhov was not.
I think it was like the second or third episode or something like
right,
that.
Right. Chekhov was not on the cast yet. So Khan never met Chekhov.
Oops. Maybe they met later. How do you know?
How are they going to meet later? They sent him to the planet at the end of the episode and he'd been there.
Maybe he met Chekhov there. I don't know. Maybe that was Chekhov's previous assignment. Speaking of Anton Yelchin, by the way, has any of you seen Green Room?
Never even heard of it.
No.
Oh, man. Have you heard of the movie Blue Ruin?
Nope.
Oh, God. You guys.
What about Yellow
Thunder?
What
is this with you and color movies?
It's the same guy made both of those. It's Green Room. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a movie Anton Yelchin in it. And by the way, another Star Trek guy, Patrick Stewart, is in this too. He's the bad guy. He plays a really fucking psychotic Nazi. And it's a crazy ass movie. Like I said, it's an Amazon Prime. Go watch it. Green Room. It's a really good like a suspense thriller that has some truly shocking fucking moments in it. It's good. Anyway. And that came out this year, too, so it's on topic. So fuck you.
All right.
Because I watched, I think there were a lot of really good indie movies this year, too, like The Witch and fucking Neon Demon. And this one, Green Room, fucking all really good. Oh, and the Anthony Weiner documentary. One of the most amazing. Really it's one of the really most good. Amazing documentaries you will ever see. Because
it kind of comes across as like a reality show, but it's not.
Well, the thing is, he's such a narcissist that no matter what is going on, he wants the camera to keep rolling. Anybody else would have said, like, turn off the cameras in certain moments. And he's so in love with the attention that he lets it run. And so you see some amazing, like, there's some amazingly, like, voyeuristic shit in it. And, like, even at the end, this isn't a spoiler ever, but even at the end, he's, like, he's doing a postmortem because, right, he loses the mayoral election, obviously, because of all the scandal. And he says at the end, you know, he's having like this postmortem interview. And he says to the guy, you know, I feel like, sadly, everybody focused on this whole scandal and not the issues. And that's kind of what screwed me. And I feel like your documentary is probably going to do that, too. Like, instead of focusing on what I'm about, it's going to just focus on all the scandal. And then he kind of pauses for a second and goes, but it was still worth it. It was still totally worth it. Like, he even admits it. He's like, you're going to just make me look like an asshole, but I still love that there's a movie about me.
Dude, you do a really good New York Jew voice.
All right.
I wonder why.
All right.
Astonishingly. Yeah.
So we can stop talking about the appropriately named wiener.
It's a bio dick pic.
Right. Let's go.
What do you think? President Wiener in 2024?
Oh, yeah.
Not a chance. That guy's irredeemable. I'm telling you. Watch that movie. He's irredeemable. He's doing it again now. He's right now.
I am not a dick.
It's 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast. It's a Friday night, New Year's Eve. He's divorced. He's fucking texting with some skank in Vegas right now. I'm telling you.
So anyway, no, I'm Civil War.
Civil War.
I need a beer.
Unlike all those shitty movies, Civil War was the bomb.
How unnecessary was Ant-Man in that movie, for real?
And
the other origin stories, they kind of like really, really sped through them really fast. Like fucking, what's his name? Black Panther? What was his name?
So hold on. So Black Panther, the Black Panther movie is going to be more of like, it's going to have more origin elements in it than the Spider-Man movie. That's not going to be an origin story at all.
I thought that was awesome.
I thought that was beautiful. I thought that the thing that they did with Spider-Man was exactly what they needed to do. They never said the words radioactive spider. They never said the words Uncle Ben. They never said with great power comes great responsibility. But like they almost said all three of those things.
Right.
Like if you watch that scene with Tony Stark and him in the room.
Yeah.
He's like, where'd you get those powers? And he's like, I was a thing that happened. And then he kind of changes the subject. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody. I'm willing to bet that if you polled 1,000 people walking out of the theater seeing Civil War and asked them how Spider-Man got his superpowers, every single one of them would know.
At least 99%.
Unless they were like a toddler.
At least 99%. Like right. And the people that didn't know, their parents told them during the movie and said, look, here's what.
Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. Everybody knows their backstory. Batman, his parents were murdered. He decides to be a crime fighter. Superman, alien that comes from a planet that exploded. Spider-Man, geek gets bitten by radioactive spider. The end. Like, everybody knows those three things. You know, like, all the other ones would sort of need and as we go kind of deeper into the...
God, if they do an Aquaman origin story.
Like, they're doing Captain Marvel. Who the fuck knows what Captain Marvel's origin story is?
Well, the greatest thing I love about this movie is, you know, you're talking about the origin story of Spider-Man. It took, what, like 3 minutes?
Yeah, and you know what?
Finally somebody said, y'all know the story.
Yeah. Like somebody...
I remember when the first trailer came out and it showed Spider-Man grabbing Captain's shield. Fucking gnome lost his mind with, are those web shooters? Are those fucking web shooters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because why? Why are you going to change shit? Are you going to make an Assassin's Creed movie that almost none of it is in the assassin part?
Right. My first introduction to Spider-Man was actually Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Noam, you might be too young,
By the way, Kevin Smith calls that the ultimate iteration of Spider-Man. Man, that show is fucking boss. Right. I used to watch that as a kid in Israel.
The cartoon from the late 70s, early 80s.
It's him and Iceman and fucking the fire girl or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
That cartoon is the shit, man. Yeah. It's really good.
I watched every fucking episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that fucking bedroom, man.
I wanted my walls to turn around and have like supercomputers and shit.
And almost more than anything, that informs what I think of that, like, Spider-Man should be in terms of like his quips and all that crap. Like, that to me is Spider-Man. And that's what he really feels like in this. And I think the movie's going to be really good. The trailer was really good, and fucking Keaton being all like Lecter-ish and scary was really awesome. Yeah. And, Civil War, just awesome. Just great movie, man.
Yeah. I like how Keaton comes across as, I got nothing against you, but this is what I'm going to do. And if you get in my way, you're going to get crushed.
Yeah. I'm going to fucking steamroll.
Yeah. Oh, so fucking. God, I love Michael Keaton, except for Birdman. But other than that,
that movie's so good. I didn't like it. It's kind of artsy, I know, and I like artsy movies. He's so good in it, and it's sort of meta because it's kind of like it's about him.
I like how
his life story is kind of like that too.
I like how Ed Norton Jr. Played Ed Norton Jr. in that movie. Like, you know, that's exactly how he is in real life.
So
back to Civil War. The Black Panther.
Ant-Man was unnecessary. Ant-Man was unnecessary, but I think it was good because it didn't take away from anything.
Well, plus they showed him basically getting his ass kicked too.
I just don't like him. That's
oh, you don't like Paul Rudd? I thought the movie was all right.
You don't like the character, or you don't like the guy playing him?
I don't like the character. I like Paul Rudd. I don't like Ant-Man. I tried to muscle through the movie Ant-Man, and I couldn't.
Really? I thought it was
ironically. Yeah, I liked the Ant-Man movie.
It was fun.
Ant-Man is one of the only times I've liked Paul Rudd.
Yes, that's you know what
I'm not a Paul Rudd fan.
I like
Ant-Man.
I definitely agree that I'm not a big fan of his, but I feel like he plays it really well. And like I said, I felt like it was fun for what they used him for. And it was the result was, freaking great. And I can't wait for Infinity War and all that crap. I mean, I feel like they're hitting their stride. I don't want to jinx them, right? But Ragnarok, if Ragnarok is awesome, that's going to be a really impressive achievement because the first two Thor movies are not great. They're all right.
Yeah, they don't suck.
Yes. It's like for them to come back with to knock it out with a third one, that would be really impressive, I think.
All right. You ready to go to another shitty movie?
Oh, okay. Which one?
Suicide Squad. I didn't even try.
How do I approach this? Okay. I didn't hate it as bad as everybody said that it was. I didn't like how it was just slapped on. Like, we get it. The crocodile guy is black. We get it. The fucking Hispanic guy turns into a fucking, you know what I mean? It was so heavy-handed.
Well, the biggest problem we had it, and we talked about it in the difference between the two trailers. The first trailer came out and it was all serious. The dark. And then Deadpool came out and they said, oh shit, we need to make this funny and quippy.
And you're not wrong, by the way. That's exactly what happened. And there's a company called Trailer Park that makes trailers, and they hired it to make a trailer, and they made the one with the Bohemian Rhapsody in it and used every single joke in the entire movie in one trailer. Yeah. And people lost their minds, and Warner Brothers were like, fuck, we gotta do something. And you're right. And by the way, the edit that you saw in the theater was Trailer Park editing the entire movie. And it's really apparent in the first half. It's really slapped together with really random songs thrown over scenes, and it's cut really bizarrely. There's a lot of there's almost no Joker in it at all. After they,
I didn't mind it.
No, but they sold it so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's crazy. He's sending dead rats to people. In the end, he was like Scarface, only not as insane as Scarface. Like, he was more subdued than Tony Montana, you know? And then the second half of the movie is way more serious. So there's this scene where Deadshot is standing on a car and going like, and he's shooting, and it's in slow motion, and there's like symphonic music and rain in slow motion. I was like, I was listening to an Eminem song like 6 minutes ago, and I'm supposed to, like, all of a sudden there's this crazy tone shift, and it's like Batman v Superman. It was really disjointed. It was really disjointed and weird, and he didn't get it at all.
I didn't hate it. I would watch it again on demand.
I want to watch it again because I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
Don just sent a message, everybody. This is, he's going to have to wrap soon, dinner time. And just, I'm like, fucking eat dinner while you're fucking doing a show, fucker.
6:40.
He's on the left. It's early for him.
Yeah, 6:40.
I mean, we're probably getting kind of near it anyway. But
because there is something I'm going to bring up, Noam, that's probably going to light your fuse. Let's go from shitty movie back to what I thought was a good movie, The Jungle Book.
Okay. Oh, I didn't see that.
Didn't see it.
It's
Wow!
The CGI was fucking amazing.
Yeah, so I hear.
And
was it as good, the CGI as good as like Life of Pi, like the tiger that was in that?
Yes,
was it that realistic?
Yes, I mean literally, you know, like the panther and the lion and stuff. They were actually just like, you know, there was like just all kinds of little. No, they were acting just like you would expect a lion to act. You know, they'd sit down and do the little.
Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
Yeah, I want to watch that at some point.
It was really good. I just
and they're doing the Lion King. They're going to do a whole bunch of them now. They're going to like photorealistic because it's not because people are saying like, oh, it's a live action Lion King. No, it isn't. It's all CGI. Right. But it's like what do you call it? Hyper realistic CGI because in the Jungle Book there is a real kid in it. And they are going to do like all these like Aladdin and stuff. So some of them are going to be like semi live action.
That's what you think, Noam. Think it's a real kid. It's that good.
it's actually Andy Serkis walking around on his knees.
that dick, how does he get all the fucking scenes? Like all the other, all the other motion cap actors are like, what the fuck? Like, how does he keep getting all the work?
And like, you know what? His thing, like he's the guy. Like
how is he Snoke?
Wikipedia,
how is he fucking?
One of his first thing is he's a mocap artist.
Yeah. What? But what does that mean?
And you know what? And it happened by accident.
Is he the dude that you're always seeing in the ping pong outfit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Plays like the monkey
the story is he did Gollum.
Right.
And the story was that he did it. He walked around with the actors and acted like Gollum. And then they were like, we're just going to CGI over you. Or they did it in like the test footage.
But Gollum was like, basically Jar Jar Binks with less vocabulary.
But also awesome. Like also
a little more depth.
But I'm saying,
so when they plotted out the shots, because if you're going to be in a shot with a creature that isn't there, you got to plan out beforehand. Like the camera's going to pan like this. You're going to walk three steps to here. And then so they acted it out with Serkis in the scene and he jumped around and did it. And then they were like, you know, you're actually doing this really well. Why don't we use you to do mocap for it or whatever? And then he like I said, he became the guy. Like he became an expert on it.
Right.
And did all kinds of shit. And he also, I think, sort of rewrote the book on how you do that. If you watch The Hobbit, there's behind the scenes from the second Hobbit movie where they filmed the mocap for Smaug, for the dragon with, his name?
Cumberland Batch?
Yeah, exactly. Cumberland Farms.
Benedict Cumberbun,
and he does
cucumber patch.
He does full body mocap for a dragon. He crawls around and slithers on the floor. Yeah. It's really interesting to watch, and it makes the performance really natural because he's not just standing there and pretending he's acting like a dragon or like a golem or whatever. So yeah, that's pretty. But I'm gonna see the Jungle Book eventually.
All right,
and I Arrival, which was awesome. I loved it. Best movie.
Okay, ever. Now Don didn't like that movie.
I think I went into it. Here's the thing.
I don't even know what the movie's about. So
it was a good movie for its story, and I think that's what I'm underappreciating. Like I went in there with a different goal in mind, and it's not the outcome that I was expecting.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
So from that, I don't think I appreciated the movie for what everybody else took it for.
Okay, but the guy who directed it, he's gonna be the new Nolan.
Hold on, is that the Amy Adams movie that's basically like a ripoff of Contact?
It's not.
It's actually better. It's actually better than Contact.
Okay.
But
it's the one where they like got to figure out the language and all that kind of stuff. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
And by the way, that's the movie to me that establishes Jeremy Renner as the best supporting actor in Hollywood. Like,
I turned on him.
He can't carry a movie for shit, but he's the best second guy
you can ever want.
But I'm saying he's the best because he's like in the Mission Impossible movies, in the Marvel movies, he's a really, really solid. He's not a main guy.
He's good if you give him 5 minutes.
But he's the second
best Jason Bourne that's not Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Oh,
was good.
And he's, but and so, I mean, I'm actually saying that like as a compliment, you know, like not everybody can do that. Not everybody can be really good, but like let the main actor shine.
Let not be the man, right?
Yeah, like you want to be very memorable without stealing attention away from the person who's supposed to be the center of attention. And I think he does that really well.
You're supporting. That's what he does.
You know what? There's a fucking Oscar especially for that. You know what I mean? Like it's such its own skill that it has a fucking its own Oscar.
Yeah.
And like I said, the guy who directed it, Denis Villeneuve, he's going to be the guy now because he made Sicario, which everybody went apeshit for. And he made that movie Prisoners. He also made a movie called Enemy with Jake Gyllenhaal that nobody watched because it's really
I like that movie.
It's fucking awesome. It's weird, though. It has like a David Lynch kind of ending or whatever where you're like, what?
I'm going to limit
which one. Which one is Enemy?
It's the one with Jake Gyllenhaal where he discovers that he has a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's fucking good. And he made Arrival, and he's making Blade Runner now. He's working on the Blade Runner movie.
Do they really need to redo Blade Runner?
No, they're not redoing it. It's a sequel, and it's Harrison Ford's in it, and they're making it R-rated. Like it's a doing it. I'm getting all the kind of vibes that I got about The Force Awakens. That meaning that they're sending the right signals. They're trying to do it right. They're making it like the original. They're hiring artsy directors.
Well, if they're doing it as a sequel, like 30 years later, versus we're just going to make this movie over again. You know.
Yeah, it's like Ryan Gosling, and he has to go find Deckard, who's been gone for 30 years, and blah blah. Oh, okay. And also, he's now in talks to do the new Dune. Because they now rebought the rights to they're going to try to
rebuild. Oh, God.
Die.
You know what? That to me is a perfect property to make now in this era of like cinematic universes.
Dune? No.
There is no definitive adaptation of Dune, though. There is no.
I don't think you can do Dune as a movie. I think you need to do Dune as like a mini series.
They're going
to
do a trilogy. They're going to do a trilogy, I think.
I think we've had this conversation about Dune before a couple years ago, maybe. It's so internally monologued that it's so hard to come across on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this though. There's two things that I considered unfilmable were Lord of the Rings and Watchmen. For two very different reasons.
No, I'm not saying it's unfilmable.
Made into very good. They're not. I think if they tweak Dune cleverly, it can work as a movie. It's not. It's obviously not going to be like the book. Again, like I said, same with Game of Thrones. By the way, they tweaked Game of Thrones in a way that I didn't anticipate, which is that they made it sexier. But they also made it sexy. It's right, the books are really dry and boring.
Right, but if you did Dune like they did Game of Thrones and made it a TV series and did 13 episodes a year for 5 years, you could probably get away with it. But well,
they had a Dune miniseries.
Did they really?
Yes, but it was Sci-Fi Channel, and it was very low budget. It was good. Look, it was way more faithful than the Lynch movie. Hold on, let's go back. The Lynch movie is iconic. The visuals are amazing. It's really memorable in that part, but it's a fucking disaster, right?
It is all over the place.
It's weird. He's weird, and he made a weird movie.
It's the Battlefield Earth of sci-fi fantasy movies.
And Joe Dorowski's Dune, which is the Dune that never got made, that because of that alien got made, whatever, there's a whole story, was going to be even weirder. It was going to be even more visually iconic because all of the people who worked on movies like Alien people who then influenced stuff like The Fifth Element, Mobius, and a bunch of French concept artists or whatever were working on it. It was going to be even more memorable visually and even weirder in terms of plot. And the sci-fi miniseries was way more straightforward, but it was uninspiring because it was Sci-Fi Channel budget done on really like bad sets, and it was just unexciting. Like it was Dune certainly, but I really wanted like I want Guillermo del Toro to make it. You know, I want it to be sort of gothic and insane. It looked like a horror movie.
Right.
And Villeneuve, I think, is actually not a bad choice because he is a very sort of striking director, and the guy, the director of photography on it is a guy that he's worked with before, and he's fucking amazing. So Roger Deakins, who made stuff like, you know, Sleepy Hollow, and he's a fucking amazing.
Nice.
So anyway, we're babbling.
I'm going to run down a list right now, and we're going to talk about how shitty 2016 was.
Okay, are we going to do like a lightning round?
Yeah, we're just going to go through the Day of the Dead here.
Okay.
This is
the first montage.
In memoriam.
I'm going to sing Sarah McLachlan as you would.
This just came out. This came out last night from NBC. So you know, we'll talk about the ones that we're like really pissed about. But I'll read down their whole. Pat Harrington Jr. Don't even know who it is.
Huh? And Jon Snow. Oh wait, no.
No, that's Kit Harington.
I gotcha.
David Bowie.
Hang on. Who's that?
Yes.
Renee Angelil. Don't even know who that is.
Nope. Oh, that's Celine Dion's husband.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go.
Alan Rickman.
Damn.
That was a tough one.
Dan Haggard.
That's the... Who, oh, yeah. Grizzly Adams?
Mm-hmm. Glenn Frey.
Oh, yeah, from
Eagles.
Abe Vigoda.
And this time for real.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say we should have put together a list and done real or fake death.
Pat Kantner.
Who?
No.
Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, okay.
Joe Alasky.
Lost me.
He was the original voice of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck during the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Chuck Schultz or whatever?
No, they're not Mel Blanc.
Oh, Mel Blanc, sorry.
Yeah.
Maurice White. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, okay.
BMX racing, I don't know who that is. Edgar Mitchell.
Oh, no, go back. You're talking about, I'll tell you who you're talking
Dave
about.
Mira.
Dave Mira. Oh, and also the other guy died too. Not just Dave Mira. Matt Hoffman.
Well, this is going in chronological order.
Okay.
And Edgar Mitchell, who, if you don't know, was astronaut. Sixth man on the moon. Vanity.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've enjoyed her a couple times.
I'm looking when at I was 14. And I can understand why you enjoyed her. Yeah, she. I think she probably got us through puberty, didn't she?
Yeah, that's the chick from Purple Rain and one of Prince's...
Action Jackson.
yeah.
Antonin Scalia.
Oh, of course. He died on the day that I went to see Deadpool.
He died on the ranch.
Did they ruin the movie for you?
No, I mean, I came out and I had a text message about it.
So the guy that owns my company also owns the ranch that he was killed on.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like a suspect.
So.
Do you frequent Comet Ping Pong in Northwest D.C.? By any chance? It was a Pizzagate joke.
All right, George Gaines. Ooh.
Fell flatter than a pizza.
Yeah.
George Gaines.
Who?
Nah.
The Commandant from the Police Academy movies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Commandant Lassard.
Commandant Lassard, yes. Boutros Ghali.
Yeah, former UN Secretary General. Oft butt of many a David Letterman joke in the 90s, in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
right.
His real claim to fame.
Angela Rowley.
Who?
Somebody from some TV show. Harper Lee.
Oh, wow. You say Harper Lee?
Harper Lee.
Yeah, Harper Lee.
Yeah, author.
Right, she died and then posthumously released the book that
that she didn't want released.
Turned Atticus Finch into a retroactive racist.
Right.
Literally too.
Yes. No, but it was the hilarious part is that in it, it's like a prequel and Atticus Finch and it's a horrible racist or whatever. And a lot of people like named their kids after him.
Right.
Harper.
And like it comes out that he was like,
okay, no, but
he was like a KKK member.
She wrote, okay.
Amazing.
I don't know. He's named after the version that, yeah. you know, defended yes. the black guy.
He's named after the guy from Harry Potter, you know.
He's named after pre-2016 To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's why my kids are just going to be named Boo and Radley.
Umberto Eco.
Oh, of course, the author.
Uh-huh. Sonny James.
Don't know.
Country singer.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony Burton. The only thing you probably know him from was Rocky. He was the guy that played Apollo Creed's trainer.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. He was in one or I could see his face in one or two other things too, but yeah.
George Kennedy. Cool yep, handle.
Football player and from Airplane.
Uh huh. I don't know who that is. Lee Raramon. He was on American Gladiators. Okay. Joey Feck. Pat Conroy. Oh, the author of The Great Santini. Son of a...
Oh, okay.
Bitch.
All right.
Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, I keep thinking she died in years before, but, you know.
Yeah. Apparently not.
George Martin.
Yes, a legendary Beatles producer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keith Emerson.
From ELP.
Yep. Frank Sinatra.
Junior. Not Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Yes. Blue eyes. He's been dead for a little while, I think.
Bob Ebeling.
Who?
He's the booster rocket engineer who spent decades filled with guilt over not stopping the explosion of the Challenger.
Oh, I mean, not that many decades if he's dead now.
Right.
What? Literally like three, 2 decades.
Three, yeah.
I don't even know who that is. So I'm like, Fife Dog?
Who? No, say the name. What?
Fife Dog.
Oh, is it like a rapper?
Yeah.
Yeah, from a tribe called
Racist. Class.
Ralph Ford.
It's if your last name is Dog with two G's, you're a fucking rapper.
No, just one G.
I don't care. That,
Rob Ford.
If that generalization makes me a racist, then so be it.
Right. Rob Ford.
Oh, right. The mayor of Toronto. Crack-smoking mayor of Toronto.
The guy who shot Jesse James.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Another one that I'm kind of pissed off about, Joe Garagiola.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Hall of Fame catcher with the Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
Broadcaster. Oh. He was like Yogi Berra's best friend.
Right.
I was like, was he a fucking Hall of Fame tuba player or some shit?
Like, yeah, the only band member in the Marine Corps to have been awarded the Medal of Honor.
Right. Gary Shandling.
Oh, yeah. Hail Hydra.
Yep.
Jim Harrison. Author.
From The Doors?
No, yes. His brother. Yeah, he's in the Windows.
Wait.
Oh, my God. They have the Mother Mary Angelica.
What?
The folksy Roman Catholic nun who used a monastery garage to begin the Catholic TV powerhouse EWTN.
What?
What?
Patty Duke.
Not even joking. I had an ex-girlfriend that used to make me watch that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She was very...
You were just trying to get laid. If you're watching EWTN, you were just trying to get laid.
It fucking worked.
Okay.
But if you're watching EWTN, can you only get laid after marriage?
No, you can get laid. You just have to go to confession afterwards.
I didn't say she was a good Catholic.
Patty Duke.
She was a TV watching Catholic.
Yeah.
Eric Bowersfield. Or Bowersfield, sorry.
I don't know who these people are.
He's the guy that played Admiral Akbar.
Oh, of course.
Yep. Eric Bowersfield, 93, who turned three words from a minor acting role into one of the most beloved lines of the Star Trek series.
Well, also, he said stuff about magnitude, firepower of this magnitude.
Right. But when you think Admiral Akbar, you think, it's a trap!
Yes, you know there's a Slate think piece today about this because in Rogue One, super minor spoiler, there's another Mon Calamari admiral in it who's not Akbar. He's called like something else, and he's based off Winston Churchill. And so there was a think piece in Slate today. Why are there so many Mon Calamari admirals in the rebellion? It's like fucking because they build the fucking cruisers, you right. idiot.
Merle Haggard.
Oh yes, Merle Haggard.
David Guest.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know David Guest died this year. I didn't remember that.
Doris Roberts.
Yeah. Damn.
Who's Doris Roberts?
She was in the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
Les Wise. Peter don't. China.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Prince.
A lot of people with one name.
If you go back to my Facebook page, you'll realize I went up to Minneapolis like the week after he died, and the place I was delivering to was right down the street from his fucking studio, and I didn't realize it. And it took me like an hour and a half to go like a block and a half because there was like 100,000 people fucking right there at his studio, fucking just putting flowers on the fence and shit like that.
All right, keep going.
Michelle McNamara.
The name. Hold on. Is it Catwoman?
No. Crime Wait. Writer and founder of the website True Crime
Diary. Oh, right. She's Patton Oswalt's wife.
Right.
Who died? That's yeah.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. I knew the name sounded familiar.
Isabel Dianori.
Don't know who that is.
She's the first. She's the one that got the first partial face transplant.
Oh,
Papa Wemba. Billy Powell, or Billy Paul, sorry.
Nope.
Jazz singer.
Okay.
Afina Shakur Davis.
Yes, Tupac's mom.
Mm-hmm. Jane Little. Amelia Naviera.
Nope.
The Grammy Award winner who, with Selena, was known as the King of Tejano music. To her queen.
Oh, I can't imagine why.
So now they're both dead.
Right. Guy Clark. Morley Safer.
Mm-hmm. From 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm. Alan Young. Really? No idea?
No.
He's a guy that played on Mr. Ed.
Oh, wow. That's going way back.
Right. Nick Menza.
The drummer for Megadeth.
Uh-huh. Muhammad Ali. Ah,
damn, going deep with my shit. Right. I know fucking people.
Muhammad Ali.
Oh, I've heard of him, I think.
Kimbo Slice.
I've definitely heard of him.
Teresa.
He's like Muhammad Ali, except in your backyard.
Except young, yeah. Teresa Saldana.
Is it like Zoe Saldana's mother or something?
No, she was the actress from Raging Bull.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Gordie Howe.
You have an extensive list there.
Right. Gordie Howe.
How did he die?
Huh?
How did he die?
You don't know who Gordie Howe is? Oh, you're not into hockey. He's basically known as Mr. Hockey, the rough and tumble Canadian farm boy whose blend of talent and toughness.
Okay.
Made him the NHL's quintessential star. Christina Grimmie.
Nope.
Ron Lester.
Nope.
He played Billy Bob in Varsity Blues. The big fat fucker.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anton Yelchin.
Yep, that was a bad one, man. That was a really horrible death.
Right, that was one that nobody saw coming. That was, what, a car wreck?
What happened was his parents are going to get like millions of dollars from the car company because he got out of his car to do something and it rolled and crushed him. Like he stopped it on an incline or whatever. And there was some kind of weird failure of the car's UI or something. Like it made it look like the handbrake was on, but it wasn't or something like that. There was some kind of weird car thing. Where he went out to like take something out of his mailbox and the car was on an incline and it rolled and crushed him against the gate and killed him. Man. Yeah. I mean, just horrible. Ralph, he was like, his friends were waiting for him at a bar or something like that. It was just terrible, man.
Ralph Stanley. godfather of traditional bluegrass music, wrote the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, okay. I am a man.
Bernie Worrell.
Constant sorrow.
Bernie Worrell, the Wizard of Woo, whose amazing array of keyboard sounds helped define the Parliament Funkadelic music empire.
Sure, George Clinton, all that crap.
Bill Cunningham. New York Times street photographer.
Okay.
Alvin Toffler.
What?
What?
I don't know who that is.
A guru of the post-industrial age whose Future Shock and other books. Anyway. Buddy Ryan.
Oh, yes. The father of the Ryan brothers, who both got fired this past week.
Scotty Moore.
Don't know.
He was Elvis's backing guitarist.
Okay.
Pat Summitt.
Yes, sure.
The winningest coach in Division I college basketball history. Ellie Wiesel.
Mm-hmm. Famous Holocaust survivor. Uh-huh. Nobel Peace Prize laureate.
Michael Camino.
He owns the planet that made the clone army.
No, he invented the El Camino automobile.
The Oscar winning.
Oh, see, because that planet was called Camino.
Right. The Oscar winning.
No, yours was good too.
The Oscar winning director whose film The Deer Hunter became one of the great triumphs of Hollywood.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That movie's fucking epic.
Great fucking movie.
Yeah. It has a wedding scene that's longer than most movies today.
Mm-hmm. Noel Neal.
Don't know.
The first actress to play Lois Lane.
Not me.
Oh, in the George Reeves Superman? No,
before that, in the 1948 movie serial Superman alongside Kirk Allen.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Now you're going way back.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pronounce this right. Abbas Kiarostami.
Okay, that was pretty good, I think.
An Iranian director whose 1997 film Taste of Cherry won the Gary Marshall.
Legendary producer and I don't know. He produced
Happy
a bunch
Days,
of stuff.
The
he
Odd directed. Couple, Laverne and Shirley.
Wait, Gary Marshall died? I didn't even know that.
July 19th. Mark Takei.
Is he related to George Takei?
No, he was just a U.S. representative, a war veteran from Hawaii. Reverend Tim LaHaye, co-author of the Left Behind series.
Oh, okay.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah, she didn't see that coming.
No.
No, you're not allowed, because you see, that joke was made by so many people. I'm not even going to claim
it. I didn't even know she died. David Huddleston.
Don't know.
He was the guy that played the old Lebowski in Big Lebowski.
Oh, sure. The other Lebowski.
Right. The other Lebowski.
Yes.
The rich Mr. Lebowski.
Mr. Lebowski.
Yes.
Yes.
Pete Fontaine. Jazz clarinetist.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Jenner.
Is he Bruce Jenner's...
The veteran character actor who rocketed into space as an admiral on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
Kenny Baker.
The guy who was R2-D2?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to screw this up. Five-O Schfinkel?
Yeah, I think you got that right. Five-O-Schfinkel?
FYVUSH. Emmy award-winning actor whose career in stage and screen started in Yiddish theater and led to memorial roles in Fiddler on the Roof, on Broadway, and on TV in Boston Public and Picket Fences.
Okay.
If you saw the picture here, you'd recognize him.
I'm sure.
John McLaughlin. Lou Pearlman. He's the guy that launched the hit groups Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Right. He went to prison.
But was later sentenced to prison for a $300 million Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that he went to prison.
Matt Roberts, guitarist and founding member of Three Doors Down.
Okay. Speaking of Superman.
Yeah. Toots Thielemans. He's a Belgian harmonica player. Right. Played with jazz greats like Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Stephen Hill. Oh, shit. He was the original district attorney on Law and Order.
Oh, okay, sure. Before,
oh, wow, really?
Before, because even before Michael Moriarty, because before, yeah, like one of the originals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Sonya Reichel, the queen of knitwear. Juan Gabriel.
I know that name.
Mexican songwriter.
Okay.
Gene Wilder.
That one hit me really hard.
That one hit me almost as hard as Alan Rickman.
And there was also, because Spielberg's making a movie now, that there were kind of rumors that he might have hired Wilder to act in, and he would have been perfect for it, and it was just like, sucks, man.
John Polito. He's a character actor.
Okay.
Jerry Heller.
The producer of NWA and fucking... Yeah, the guy who... He's... what's his name? Plays him in the movie.
Paul Giamatti.
He's fucking great in that movie. I love that movie.
Phyllis, really good.
Yeah, Phyllis Schlafly.
Yes, yeah, famous feminist and fucking whatever.
Lady Shabless. Greta Zimmer Friedman. You'll never get this one.
Is she like an opera singer?
No. Remember the iconic picture of the Navy guy kissing the nurse and bending
oh,
over?
Oh, she's the the Times Square.
She's the
kid,
nurse.
V-Day right. Kiss. Okay.
She's actually the sailor in that picture.
Yeah. Alexis Arquette.
Is she one of the Arquettes?
Transgender, the pioneering transgender member of the prominent Hollywood family. Yes.
Well, I didn't know they had a transgender family member.
Edward Albee.
Don't know him.
Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright who challenged theatrical conventions and master works such as Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Virginia Woolf. Okay, sure.
And A Delicate Balance. W.P. Kinsella.
Nope.
He's the guy who wrote Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, wow.
The fucking Canadian wrote a baseball movie.
Weird.
It's like finding out that some dude in Iowa wrote like the quintessential hockey book.
Right. Curtis Hanson won a screenwriter Oscar for L.A. Confidential and directed the psychological thriller The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Ooh.
And Eminem's Tale of Detroit Hip Hop, 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Shawty Lowe. All right. Bill Nunn.
I think I know who that is.
School Days.
Yes.
Jose Fernandez. The Miami Marlins pitcher who died in the fishing accident.
Oh, right. And was a hero, and then it turned out that he was like all coked up and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, did you notice how quickly people stopped talking about him when that came out?
I did, but I didn't know why. Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, a little bit of a whoop.
What was that? Oh, yeah.
Daisy.
Yeah, because the thing they said about him when he died was like, oh, he was so wholesome and story. And like they were, he was
one of the Cuban defectors, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and he saved his grandmother. She fell off the boat, and they said he was so enthusiastic, and I don't feel like if you go out on a weekend, you use a fucking Coke, that doesn't erase the fact that you're a good person.
Right.
But it did But the way I do remember all of the tribute videos and stuff did kind of play up the fact that he was this wholesome dude.
But our heroes have to be perfect now, man. You know that.
Yeah, well, like I said, if they didn't, because if Alex Rodriguez died tomorrow and they found cocaine in his system, it wouldn't change the way people look right. back at him.
Well, the biggest problem Jose Fernandez has is that he was just starting his career.
Yes, he was young, and it was, I mean, it was still a really,
I think he was still, he was rookie of the year 2 years ago, you know.
I was surprised to know that active players go out and do coke. That was the thing that surprised me. I figured that maybe they put that shit on hold until maybe they retired, you know, like, and then go do all the coke you fucking want. Like, I didn't know. That was new to me.
Mm-hmm. Arnold Palmer.
Sure.
Shimon Peres.
Yeah, that was a big one for Israel, man.
Tommy Ford.
That was also a big one for Israel. No, I'm kidding.
He was the dude. Remember the TV show Martin?
Yes, with Martin Lawrence.
Right. Remember the neighbor, the big guy?
I mean, I guess.
That's Tommy Ford.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to screw this up. King Boomadol Alajayaj?
I have no idea.
The world's longest reigning monarch who was revered in Thailand.
Oh, yes, of course. The king of Thailand.
Right. Steve Dillon.
Yul Brynner. That was a really, really good. I'm surprised Neil didn't laugh at that. I was expecting a good chuckle from Neil.
Steve Dillon.
You know, because he was in The King and I. He was the king of Siam, which is Thailand.
Okay, that's pretty all right. That's pretty
good. Let's see how far back your knowledge does go, Neil. Steve Dillon.
Oh, I got nothing.
Or Noam, I meant.
Steve Dillon. I mean, that name sort of, I mean, I'm sure I heard that this person died.
As soon as I tell you what he did, you're going to go, oh yeah. Okay.
Hold on. Steve Dillon.
Uh-huh.
Blah. That's all I can think of. No. Yeah.
Illustrated the popular comic, The Punisher.
Oh, okay. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Janet Reno.
Oh, yes. She illustrated the famous comic, the Koresh Compound.
Leonard Cohen.
What was that called? Fuck, I can't remember now. Waco.
Waco. Ah! Yeah.
It's late.
Another one that actually kind of hit me hard. Robert Vaughn.
Oh, sure. From Jaws.
Uh-huh. Or The Man from U.N.C.L.E., if you're old. Mm. Leon Russell, singer-songwriter. Gwyneth Phil.
Oh, yes. The journalist and whatever.
Holly Dunn. Country singer.
She was done.
Sharon Jones. Soul singer. Another one that hit me hard. Florence Henderson.
Oh, yes. Of course. From the Brady Bunch.
Another one that didn't hit me very hard. Fidel Castro.
Oh, I'm still not ready to talk about that one yet.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I know Neil, a former
too
countryman
soon, man.
Of Fidel's.
Yes.
A fellow countryman, yes.
Yes. I can't even take it. Like, I don't know how to... I literally can't find like ways to describe him that are not like where I could pull off that joke.
Yes.
Ron Glass.
Inventor of the glass?
No. you're gonna be pissed when I tell you what this guy did.
He invented.
He was actually the axes? Brother of the brother of Jan Brady's
I'm gonna tell you the name of a character he played, and you're gonna go fuck.
Hold on. Give me the name of the guy again. Now I gotta try and guess it.
Ron Glass.
Hold on. Was he like Colonel Klink or something like that?
No.
Okay, who was he then?
Dario Brooke.
Who?
From Firefly, the preacher.
Oh shit! Okay,
the black guy from Barney Miller.
Yeah. Ron Glass, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Tinkner.
What? How many people died this year?
Hill Street Blues.
Millions and millions.
Greg Lake.
From Emerson, from ELP. From ELP, yeah. What, E and L died this year?
Yep.
Fucking Palmer's all alone now.
I'll tell you, one of the ones
that dead too? I don't know, maybe he's dead too.
Palmer might have already been dead, yeah. I think the one that hit me the hardest when I heard about it throughout the whole year, John Glenn.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's a legit hero right
there. I almost needed a fucking day of mourning for that. And I'm not
Carl
kidding.
Carl Palmer's still alive, by the way.
Huh?
I wonder if the deaths in ELP really shook up the guys in ELO.
Yes.
O's happy, at least. Joseph Mascola. Okay. E.R. Braithwaite. A Guyanese author. Oh, he's the guy that wrote. He's the guy that wrote. No, hold on. He's the guy that wrote "To Sir with Love."
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So shows what an uncultured swine I am.
I didn't know the name either.
No.
He's the guy that inspired "To Sir with Love."
Okay.
He was the teacher.
Was that Laurence Olivier?
Yeah. Alan Thicke.
That was a bad one, man.
Mm-hmm. Craig Sager.
He wrote all those fucking every sitcom theme in the 70s.
Yeah, all
he wrote
the ditties, yeah.
Different Strokes.
70s and actually, into the 80s too.
Yeah, he actually wrote the lyrics to all of those. Yeah. And whatever. He was like a songwriter. Because his son is Thicke. The guy who did the Blurred Lines song.
Yeah, Robin Thicke.
Yeah, Robin Thicke. He did the other one that had the Beethoven thing in it.
Right. I heard that a Thicke died, and I was like, damn it, wrong one. Craig Sager. TNT sports broadcaster.
Okay.
Yep.
China Machado. Okay, a groundbreaking model and fashion editor who broke the barriers in 1959 when she became the first non-white model to appear on the cover of a major fashion magazine. Okay. Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yes. Finally.
Yeah.
Wasn't she like 100?
99. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Close enough.
George Michael.
Yeah. That just happened. That was very surprising.
Christmas morning, yeah.
Yeah.
Which should piss off Deadpool because, wham!
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds even tweeted something about that. Before you get to the last two, which you're about to read, I will say that on December the 5th, I issued a prediction that there was going to be a major celebrity death between Christmas and New Year's. I said 2016 is going to kick us in the balls one last time. There's going to be a major celebrity death. And I was wrong. There was not a major celebrity death. There were three.
Yeah. Yeah.
George Michael was one of them because he died Christmas Day. And then
we'll get to those. Ricky Harris. Not one of those. He was on Everybody Hates Chris. Richard Adams.
Okay.
Wrote Watership Down.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, that's a pretty big one, too, but whatever.
Barbara Tarbuck played Lady Jane. Another one that hit me obnoxiously hard, Carrie Fisher.
Yep, that was hoofa, because she had a heart attack on
a plane. You know the worst thing about that is my first thought was, I hope they finish up filming for episode 8 before she...
Well, I mean... You know what? I'll tell you what. I hope that too, but also as a...
No, I mean, that was my literal first thought when I heard she had a heart attack.
Okay, well, I mean, well, they did, if that's what you're interested in. They wrapped that movie in July. I think because people were like, oh, if you ask that, you're a jerk off or whatever. Right. I actually think, because I actually like that in a way. I like knowing that there's going to be a piece of work by this person that's finished and ready to come out.
Right. I mean, think
almost
of the,
like as a good, you know, as like a parting whatever.
Right. Who's the dude a couple of years ago that died? Character actor like crazy that, oh, man, the only role that I'm picturing him in right now is he was the roommate of Williams in Patch Adams.
Oh God, I'm not gonna remember that.
Died of drugs. The goofy looking fat guy.
Not John. No. I don't remember now. Never mind.
Oh, did Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Oh yes.
Debbie Reynolds.
Exactly, yes. So
the day so, after.
Yeah. So Carrie Fisher's mother, Debbie Reynolds, died the next day. She had a stroke or whatever, and they said that her last words were "I want to be with Carrie" or some horrendous, heartbreaking shit right. like that.
Well, she was 84. I mean, come on. And she stress she had been through the last couple of days.
Well, I will say this. The saddest part is that it's almost sad that the last thing that she experienced in her life was the death of her daughter. You know what I mean? You would right. almost hope that she went first, because there is a really sad thing about a parent burying their child.
Right.
So, like, she had to suffer through the pain of losing her child and then died immediately after that. So, like,
and think about.
She should have died, like, 3 days earlier to spare herself right. the awfulness of that.
Now, does Carrie Fisher have kids?
Yeah, I think so.
And this is going to sound like I'm being a total dick. But think about, like, Carrie Fisher's kids. They got to bury mom and grandma.
Yeah, absolutely.
The same
time. Absolutely. And like I said, she was married a bunch of times. She was married to Paul Simon. Interestingly enough, like he tweeted some kind of eulogy for her, and he called her a girl. He said she was an incredibly sweet and whatever girl. And people got mad. People got like outraged. Mm-hmm. Like, she was a woman, you sexist. Like, they were fucking married. Like, let him be fucking affectionate, you asshole. But I'm just trying to see if she has one kid.
Okay. Did you see? I never saw this until after she died. But the roast that she did of George Lucas.
Oh yeah, sure. And she has an HBO special that's fucking hilarious.
Okay. This is at the Life Achievement Awards.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Fisher.
I love how she just rips the shit into him. It's funny as hell. And you don't need to see this to get it.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Han Solo, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because George Lucas ruined my life. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. 57 years ago, I did his little Star Wars film, a cult film that then went on to redefine what they laughingly refer to as the face of cinema. And now, 65 years later, people are still asking me if I knew it was going to be that big of a hit. Yes! I knew. We all knew. The only one who didn't know was George. We kept it from him because we wanted to see what his face looked like when it changed expression. George is a sadist. But like any abused child wearing a metal bikini changed to a giant slug about to die, I keep coming back for more. Only a man like George could bring us whole new worlds, populated by vivid, extraordinary characters, and providing Mark and Harrison and myself with enough fan mail and even a small, merry band of stalkers. It's lovely. Keeping us entertained for the rest of our unnatural lives. George, the fact that you made me into a little doll that my first husband could stick pins into a shampoo bottle where people could twist my head off and pour liquid out of my neck. Lather up with Leia and you'll feel like a princess yourself. And yes, the little Pez dispenser so that my daughter Billy could pull my head back and pull a wafer out of my neck every time she doesn't want to do her homework. I suppose I don't mind. And though amongst your many possessions you have owned my likeness, lo, all these years, so that every time I look in the mirror, I have to send you a check for a couple of bucks.
The zinger she does on the way out is the best.
To mention, you had the unmitigated gall to let that chick, the new girl who plays my mother, Queen Amadillo, or whatever her name is, she wears a new hairstyle and outfit practically every time she walks through a door. I mean, I bet she even got to wear a bra, even though you told me I couldn't, because there was no underwear in space. I'm only slightly bitter, because you, my formerly silent friend, are an extraordinary talent, and let's face it, an artist, the like of which is seen perhaps once in a generation who helps define that generation and who deserves every award I now spend the latter half of my Leia-laden life helping to hurl your way. And in conclusion, Your Honor, I hope I slept with you to get the job, because if not, who the hell was that guy?
She is goddamn funny.
Yeah, and she was, you know, not only an actress, she was like one of the most popular script doctors in Hollywood in the 90s. Like, if your comedy had trouble, you brought it to her, and she was uncredited. But she spruced up like almost every comedy made in the 90s. Mm-hmm. That's how good she was.
And the last thing before we leave, I'm not going to piss Noam off by making him go on a rant here.
Okay.
Also for Carrie Fisher, I'm sure everybody read this, from the Duffel blog.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, you haven't read it, Noam?
No.
Resistance leaders have officially confirmed the death of General Leia Organa, hero of the Galactic Civil War, who died of heart-related complications on Tuesday. She was 60 years old. Organa, whose career included membership in the royal houses of Alderaan and Naboo, as well as the Republic and later Imperial Senate, was the second woman to hold a high-ranking position in the rebellion following Admiral Michelle Howard. A statement released by the Resistance described Organa as a consummate professional and a role model to all warriors, particularly women. She set a high bar for grooming standards, maintaining not one but two flawless buns that held fast in all tactical situations. Press officials from the First Order were quick to issue their own statement claiming Organa was an unrepentant terrorist who personally murdered dozens of Imperial soldiers as well as a local Hutt official on Tatooine. And had also participated in the theft and unauthorized distribution of classified Imperial documents on her private R2 server.
Yeah.
For over four decades, Leia Organa has been the Rebel Alliance's leader and symbol, said First Order Press Secretary Peter Cook. She has continued to plot attacks against our empire and our friends and allies. Her death, along with the traitors Admiral Akbar and R2-D2, make the most significant achievement to date in our effort to defeat the rebel scum. Organa was the veteran of several battles, including Yavin, Hoth, Endor, where she was wounded in action, and Takodana. She was captured twice by the Empire and subjected to both enhanced interrogation and a tragic Life Day celebration.
It's a reference to this holiday special.
Mm-hmm. Though victorious in the early days of the war, the subsequent 30 years of her career were relatively undocumented, and she had only recently been promoted to lead the resistance. Though some worried her leadership guaranteed at least another decade of war, supporters complained that critics were often more concerned about her weight and personal appearance. Her private life was marred by her failed marriage to the late General Han Solo, as well as questions about her mental health, personal drug use, and the exact nature of her relationship with her brother Luke Skywalker. Many younger citizens of the galaxy seemed apathetic, claiming Organa was just one of several high-ranking leaders who were still inexplicably running the galaxy decades after they should have retired. In the galactic scheme of things, what did she really do? Said MC1775, a stormtrooper conducting a foot patrol in downtown Mos Eisley. Seriously, because it seems every few years all of the official histories change, so I don't even know if she's the one who stole the Death Star plans anymore. His counterpart, AF1947, added, I wasn't even born when the rebels blew up the Death Star. All that's ancient history. It might as well have happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Their Wookiee prisoner added, Organa is survived by her brother Luke and, spoiler alert, son Ben.
Does it say spoiler alert in the article?
Yes, it does.
That's hilarious. That's fucking brilliant. Love it. All right. Anyway, that was good. Don had to
both early, yeah. I mean, yeah. We went a while. Well, we haven't talked for, holy shit.
I know. We need to do a little bit of a year-end review.
We went two hours and 15. Sorry for the long show, everybody.
No, you should split this into two, bitch.
Screw that. That's too much work, bitch.
Wow. All right, guys. That hostility came out of nowhere. Split it into two, bitch.
I'm saying we should milk this.
And no, we haven't forgotten.
If we split it into two, we can release the second part in another 6 weeks.
Yes, it's like...
We wouldn't have to talk again until April.
It's like Uniformed Opinions Infinity War Part 1.
And no, we haven't forgot about Ben.
No, he's alive.
Ben got transferred to Hoth.
Wow, who did he piss off?
Good, he's on Scarif cleaning up the...
Well, no. Did you see his Facebook post the other day about how it's supposed to get down into the 20s in Washington? It's the coldest winter ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can lick
Oh, no. That was great. No, the article said something like
the coldest winter in the last 2 years or something.
Yes. The worst cold snap
in 2 years.
In the past 2 years. That's how slow of a news day is it? That's your headline. Right. It's going to be the coldest since right. 2 years ago.
No, Ben, I mean, this is, you know, two days before New Year's Eve. It's Friday night. He's probably got his daughter again. So, you know.
Yes.
So we invited Don, and that was kind of fun catching up with Don. We hadn't talked to him in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we're all friends on Facebook, so we kind of like, you know, comment on each other's shit. But, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
All right, fellers.
And I'm going to throw the one thing out that was going to guarantee to piss off Noam, and he'll either keep it for next week or go on a 20-minute rant.
Which one?
Or the other.
Oh, the UN Security Council vote? Whatever.
Yeah. You kind of saw it coming?
No, but I mean, it's considering the fact that this is like he's on his way out. I don't know if it'll matter. I think it was just like a personal vendetta.
Well,
thing.
It'll matter because it's not like the UN's going to bring it up for another vote in 3 weeks.
Right. I mean, well, whatever. We'll see. And,
but really, what does the UN have the power to do? Hey, don't do that anymore. Fuck you.
It's just declaratory anyway. But it's more about the messages that it sends and whatever. I think it helps.
Because the UN's next option would be, we need to form a coalition and attack Israel.
Oh, no, they're never going to do that. Exactly. No, it's not that. It's more about posturing. It's more about posturing, like in future negotiations, you can say, well, you see, the UN ruled that this is illegal, and therefore you have no claim to it. It's one of those things. It's not, they're not going to do anything.
Exactly.
It's more about later in some kind of future arrangement, it strengthens the Palestinian sort of negotiation side.
Right.
But anyway, and I feel like it was done for very petty personal reasons. And people accuse Trump of like conducting policy because of like his emotions. And I feel this is exactly what Obama did here.
But I didn't have a problem with people making the argument that Trump, you're not president yet. Shut the fuck up.
No, no. I mean, in general, like people say, oh, Trump's so impulsive. He's going to, as president, if somebody insults him, he's going to do a thing. Like what happens if some world leader insults him? Is he going to go attack that country?
I think they're going to do they're going to do the same thing to him that they did to Obama 8 years ago. They're going to take his fucking BlackBerry away from him.
No, no, but I mean, no, no, that's
say,
not,
you don't
that's
get to be on Twitter anymore.
I mean, yeah. I don't understand.
Put it into a desk drawer and tell him you can have it back at the end of the term.
Right. Yes, but I'm saying I don't understand the fear that Trump's going to do that, considering we have a president that does that right the fuck now. Our current – I'm saying if Trump conducts policy based on his personal emotions, he's going to be mimicking Obama. That's what mm-hmm. Obama does. He's not going to be the first president to do that. He's going to be the second.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And the last anyway, thing before we leave, this is for Neil.
Yeah.
Secretary of Defense Mattis.
It's almost like a dream that we never thought would come true.
I know.
How many times have we thrown out Mattis's name for something?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
And it actually happened.
I have a feeling our next.
I have a feeling he's not going to do very well.
Inauguration.
Right.
So yeah, we're going to be able to talk about all that crap. I think.
I have a feeling that he's not going to do very well in the Washington environment.
It's going to go one of two ways. It's the job's either going to drive him crazy and he's going to quit, or miracle of all miracles, we Mattis up the military from the top down.
Right.
And
unfortunately, I think it's going to be the former.
Probably, but first things first, we go back to calling it the War Department.
Right.
Because Mattis doesn't do defense.
All right, dudes.
All right. See everybody next time we can get together.
I have a feeling, I mean, we might do it before, but maybe after inauguration weekend. So like in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. Yep.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right. We're out. Thanks
UniformedOps.com.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Facebook.com/UniformedOps. I don't think we use Twitter too much anymore, but Twitter.com/UniformedOps.
Mr. 13,300 followers over here.
13.4. Sorry. I mean, if you're gonna grease my shit, at least be accurate. You're
sucking that big Twitter dick, aren't you?
I swore it was 13.3 when I looked.
It's. I mean, it's exponential. People. I mean.
Yeah, you get over 2,000 and it just explodes because they unlock your shit.
You get over 10,000 and people get real easy on the follow button. I noticed. Right. Like my follower count has gone fucking bananas once I.
Every time I inch closer to 1,000 something, I tweet something right. And it goes back to 900.
Well, the Radio Foobar and the Uniformed Ops count have been hovering right around 2,000 forever, and we're at the point right now where we get a whole bunch of people that follow and then unfollow.
Yeah, that happens a lot too.
So,
all right,
we're out. Bye.
Bye.
Pressure holding steady at 5.8 amps is 2.6. All systems are go.
You could see whole nations at a glance. It was just a view like we had never had before, and I think my words at that time were a beautiful view, which it certainly was. I went across the Atlantic and into the dark side, and then when I was coming out on the light side of the Earth again with the first rays of the sun coming through the Earth's atmosphere and to the spacecraft, as I glanced out the window, it looked like a summer evening out in the meadow someplace where there are a few fireflies, but there were millions of them as far as I could see.
A whole shower of them coming by me now. They're bright, bright yellow. They were all lit up.
What we determined later on was that they were moisture particles from the heat exchanger, where there's a little drip of water comes out that then diffused into much smaller particles all over.
Astronomers have been wrong.
You're one of the few people who has been portrayed during his lifetime in film. How do you think Ed Harris did?
You know, I've never met Ed Harris to this day. Now, people think we had something to do with that movie, The Right Stuff, and we didn't. Had no connection with him at all. When Hollywood got hold of that film, they sort of made it pretty fanciful.
Around the world, all is ready. The men, the stations, the space vehicle.
People ask fairly often, what's the most memorable event in your life, and they'll expect, oh, space flight, of course, and that is a big one. But I don't think anything ever surpasses what you do in combat. Those are some vivid things that are impressed on your memory, and I'm sure every veteran that's been in combat would agree with that. There's nothing compares to that. During one of my checkout missions when I was flying wing on the squadron CO, we were down low, and he got hit by anti-aircraft fire and couldn't control the airplane, had to get out, and went down on the ground. And he was in sort of some scrub brush area, and I saw the parachute being pulled in after he went down, and this is way up a couple hundred miles up behind the lines. I calculated the amount of fuel I would need to get back to altitude again, enough to glide back over our own lines, because I really thought we were just within minutes of getting him out of there. But I was down low and kept circling and circling and circling, and the chopper never did get there in time. So when I hit my minimum fuel, enough to get me back to 40,000 feet, flamed out up there and glided back over our lines. Well, had a good tailwind at altitude that day, and so I got back over our base. And what had happened was his little dinghy had blown up and make a big sizzling noise, and so the people and the soldier knew where to come. Anyway, they got him and marched him off, and they later on he came out as a PW in at the end of what was called Big Switch on the prisoner exchange at the end of that time period, and I was able to be up there. He berated me, and I said, what are you yelling at me for? Because all I was doing trying to get you out. He said, every time you'd come around up there, they would throw me in a ditch and sit on me or step on me, stand on me, and it really hurt my shoulder because he'd already been shot. He said all he wanted me to do was just go away and go home.
Now, Senator Glenn, let me ask you something. Is there anybody in Washington you would like to take up in space with you and just leave there?
My main problem to come up, I had a few senators said if they once got me up here, they wouldn't provide the money to bring me back. So I'm glad we got by that anyway.
That was the reason I was up there, as a matter of fact, on that second flight. It wasn't just a final assignment. I had noted in some of the NASA material that there were some 52 changes in the human body that occur in space and over a period of time. On the Earth here, the human body changes as you get older. There are about 8 or 10 of those things, like the body's immune system. You get less resistant to disease and infection up there over a period of time. The same thing happens to the elderly right here on Earth. It might make it possible for the younger people to stay up in flight much longer without harmful effect, and might even give us some clues of how we take away frailties of old age right here on Earth. And then I volunteered for the flight and was told that I'd have to pass the same physical as everybody else, so and I was able to do that, so I felt very fortunate to be up there. But there were 4 days up there that I had 21 different parameters were being recorded and blood samples each day that I was on that routine also.
I understand you had a nickname for Scott.
Don't remember what that was.
Well, he told me that you called him Count Dracula.
Oh, yeah, I did. Scott became Dracula to me as far as I was concerned. But we got the blood, and that was the objective.
Now, you grew up in a pretty small town in Ohio. You grew up in New Concord. Yeah. That's where you met Annie, your wife. Could you just talk about the experience of growing up in a small town in America and what that did for you?
I think that there couldn't be a better place to grow up. Children were much more free to do what they wanted to do and form our kids' groups and go camping and go swimming in the creek down below the town. Those were the depths of the Great Depression. People would come up to our home from old Route 40, the National Road, and knock on the front door and ask Mother if she could spare them something to eat. And Mother would always fix them a plate of food, and they'd sit on the back steps and eat it. And we planted a huge garden, and Mother canned a lot of stuff. And that became something that we shared with other people in town. I'm sure that those experiences in my early days there in New Concord really have affected my life.
If you don't mind my asking, how would you like to be remembered?
I'm not interested in sitting looking back at legacies all the time. I told someone a short time ago, as far as the legacy goes, I'll leave that up to what other people deem was important.